Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Cursed Checkpoint, E3 edition, from HorribleNight.com. I am your host, Justin Lacey. Joining me tonight is Josh Lee.
Hi, glad to be here.
Oh, well, welcome back, sir. You and I have been chatting a lot, actually, over plenty of E3 coverage for E3 2013, and so tonight I think we're going to run back through all of the press conferences. I'm sure that'll take only like 5 minutes, and then and then hit up any games along the way. But I want to just kind of talk through our highs and lows of each of the conferences, and then just give some general reactions to games and that sort of thing.
But at least there were only 4.5 this year.
Nintendo's was even short. But for those of you that don't follow E3 like a crazy person, like two of us, so basically Monday was, from about noon Eastern on, was just a flood of press conferences. And this is before E3 didn't officially open until Tuesday. So it kicked off with Microsoft had their press conference about noon, and then they run through all of their games, and then they jumped to EA later in the afternoon, then Ubisoft, and then Sony closed the day yesterday. Yep. Nintendo said they didn't need a press conference, but released a Nintendo Direct instead to highlight their game lineup. So kind of half the fun was just figuring out where the hell to watch all this stuff. So we actually set up a live chat on our Twitch channel, and people from the community, and along with the Horrible Night staff, we were just finding the streams wherever we could find them, and then chatting about them while we were watching them all at the same time. So that was kind of cool. I think most of the time we were hanging out on Game Trailers.
Yeah, actually, big shout out to Game Trailers, because besides, I think at one point, maybe earlier in the day, there was a little bit of quality issues or hitchiness to their stream, but that got resolved very quickly, and they had everything all day uninterrupted, and then tons of really good interviews in between that we got to see some games that they didn't show gameplay of in the press conference and stuff. Jeff Keighley is the man.
Do you feel like the tide's turned on him? Because like, he used to get a lot of shit. Like,
yeah, you know, maybe so. And you know what? Maybe all the crap that he got was deserved at the time, but all the deals he did, or the, you know, whatever coverage, that if there was paid coverage or anything like that for Game Trailers, it's gotten him in with everyone, and it gets him like the best interviews. He gets anybody on his show, and so he's got just, you know, total access to everyone, and he does not pull punches on his questions in his interviews. And he was real rough on,
well, we started I think today. We
real rough.
I don't think Reggie's having a fun E3. I kind of started noticing that with Jeff last year. He started, I don't know, the first time I actually was taking him seriously and saw him actually asking some tough questions. So Game Trailers has been kind of the consistent during the day. Lots of live coverage, lots of interviews, plenty of the sites, you know, they're just constantly posting trailers and previews and all of that. But we've kind of struggled this year in particular to find just a hub to like go through and, you know, get the press conference archives, and just kind of more of a, like, just a better way to navigate all of this content, because it's kind of intimidating.
Yeah, it's after the fact. If you didn't take really detailed notes of everything that you saw, then trying to remember, like, okay, what are the 100 games that were listed off today that I saw? It's weird. I was searching around on the internet earlier. I couldn't find a site that just had a roundup of, you know, kind of every, you know, you could do in one page, you could do bullet points from all the major press conferences. You know, this is like, this was announced, this is exclusive here, this is that. And it's just, there's no place to get the roundups. And maybe I just didn't find it, but my Google Foo might have been weak, but that's tough. Probably just because it's so much data and people don't want to have you go to one page and not click 100 links on their site and see ads. But
I think I'm going to kind of keep the live chat open throughout the rest of this week, and especially during game trailers coverage just because that's so easy to have on in the background and just react to. So if any of you are out there want to come hang out and just react to that show, there'll probably be a couple of us in our Twitch TV chat from time to time.
I think
they
might be done, though, already over at GT.
Oh, really? They're not. I thought that they'd run into Wednesday, but all right.
I don't think so. No, I saw them sign off earlier.
Just kidding. You'll have to wait till Thursday until we do our, our follow-up podcast with the rest of our crew. But yeah, so Josh and I are going to run through the press conferences, run through the games, and then we'll do a follow-up episode on Thursday night live, again on our Twitch channel, with the rest of the Horrible Night staff, and just react to more games in specific and just get general reactions from the show as the dust has settled, because Josh and I are kind of riding a little bit of a high from last night still, but let's get into it. Let's start with the last one, because I want to focus on the third-party developers, or just the game publishers themselves, because I think that's what Nintendo is anymore. At least that's how they're treating it, because they just wanted to focus on the games, so they released the the stream with the most technical issues. First of all, it was kind of tough to track down. The Nintendo Direct feed did not work off the Nintendo website, and we ended up bouncing between several different feeds and eventually had to tap into the UK live stream of this. But
it was silly.
It was really silly. They made it a lot harder than they needed to. But anyway, they kicked things off with Pokemon X and Y. I'm not a Pokemon fan, but hey, it's the next 3DS game and looks like they put a lot of money into it, and I'm sure Pokemon fans will be super excited. Mm-hmm. And what was the... They had basically, you treat them, you can feed them cakes. What was that? Was like they?
Well, it looks like in between fights and catching them, you play Nintendogs.
Yeah.
Because it looked like you were, yeah, you feed them snacky cakes, and you can pet them and groom them and bathe them and be their best friends.
That's right. That was totally Nintendogs. And then they added like a couple fairy Pokemon to that. So. The one I was actually most excited about is Super Mario 3D World, just because I really like Super Mario 3D Land on the 3DS. They said they would come back out with another 3D Mario game, and I didn't know if they're going to try to do another Galaxy or try to, you know, redefine it yet again. So I was kind of surprised to see that they went with a 3D World kind of layout with it, but I'm excited for it. Four-player co-op and cat suits. That's
Oh, man, did you see those in action?
Those were... He would run away and, like, scamper up the walls.
Yeah, and they have an attack, a pounce attack. You should have seen Keeley and Miyamoto were doing the cat pounce thing. Like, in real life, they were doing this little thing.
Of course they were.
Jeff started it. It was funny.
Was Keeley anyway, nice to Miyamoto?
Really nice to Miyamoto. Because, you know, Miyamoto, he's not full of shit. But, yeah, so the cat suit, he said there's also going to be the Tanuki suits back, and I don't know what else they show, but that's all he said that they announced. Like, I don't think they were showing the Tanuki suit. That was like a thing that...
The cat tail's in the logo, so, man, that was...
But it helped like cats.
Yeah, people do like cats, but it seemed to be like the furriest costume yet. But I really enjoyed 3D Land, so I'm sure this will be, you know, another fun Mario game. So that's
It looks great. Yeah, it looks like four-player HD 3D Land, and that's a good thing.
What got you excited? What was your standout game?
Wind Waker HD. If we're just talking the first-party stuff, that one, that looks really good. I never finished it originally, and the last time I played it was when it came out, and at the time I wasn't super hot on it because I thought I wanted the next game, Twilight Princess, which wasn't good. So
you were one of those.
It was fine, but like I don't want to be a wolf.
Yeah,
like you know I'd already played Okami, so I just didn't I didn't really have a need for that. Looks like exactly like it does on Dolphin, which is really sharp. really good. That game scales to HD very, very well, and they've done work on it to make it, you know, look even better.
They added shaders. That was
There's shaders. Definitely, there's some shaders there. That game looks really gorgeous. That art style really holds up. Kind of look forward to that. It'll just be a nice little something. Well, with that and the 3DS game, which they didn't show at on their Nintendo Direct, but they do have it there.
Link to another world, something like that.
Link to the some worlds.
It has a name now.
Link to the future. Anyways, but so with those two, you know, maybe we'll be satiated until the new Zelda game proper comes out, which is in the works, but they didn't show it or talk about it.
Yeah, let's see.
Link Between Worlds.
I know Pokemon's this year. I think that's early. I want to say like October. I'm not really sure. Mario 3D World is December.
Yep.
Wind Waker is October.
Yes.
Looks like the next game I'm actually excited for, though, is The Wonderful 101.
Yeah.
And that's in August.
Yeah, so. August. And that still looks great.
Yeah. And it looks like the Pikmin game I want to play. So it's from Platinum Games. The main character looks like Beautiful Joe. That's what it always reminds me of.
Oh yeah, it's really weird because if you saw any of their like promo imagery stuff they had on their E3 site, his silhouette looked like Beautiful Joe. So there are people online who are going, "Oh crap, Beautiful Joe game," and no, that's not what that is.
But I don't really fully understand the plot other than you are controlling a crowd of people and through some sort of magic you turn them into weapons against giant monsters.
Yeah. You grab up other superheroes. It's weird. It's almost like fluid physics, the way they simulate all of those heroes moving in a big ball, because you get zoomed way out of the action. You're like up in the sky looking down on these streets and these big monsters, and you control the... this crowd, but then you can kind of form on the touchpad, on the gamepad, you can like draw a shape, like a straight back kind of thing, or a, you know, penis, if, you know, I'm sure people,
that's a good command.
I wouldn't do that, but if you draw that shape, and then the guys will form that shape, and then they'll like swing it around.
Is it better to draw the penis, or use a voice command to tell them to form penis?
It's not a Kinect game. Is there a microphone?
I
don't know how the voice recognition is. if they have any built-in stuff.
This is definitely one of the more gamepad-centric games. And that's, I mean, honestly, I want to see more of that because I'm kind of sold on the gamepad. I really enjoyed, you know, I still really enjoyed Zombie U. So I'm looking for more experiences like that. So I'm curious to see how that turns out. Let's see.
Oh man, are you thirsty?
For what?
Would you like to go grab a tropical freeze with me? it's my favorite mixed drink / gas station drink.
It's a good
man. What the hell? This is, okay? Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. But first of all, like four fonts in the logo.
Yeah, that's true.
It looks dumb. The game itself. This is the retro game, the one apparently.
The one they've been working on.
And they wouldn't refute that. So if there's something else they're working on, they haven't announced yet. They're really having to bite their tongues because everyone's going, wait, this is the retro game. It looks like
how big is that studio?
It looks like Donkey Kong Country Returns, but it's in HD and it looks good.
Co-op,
just like the old ones.
Between this and you know, the new Mario Kart, the Mario 3D World, and some of the other games, like Nintendo definitely has a style for this generation, and I kind of dig it. Like as far as their advancement into HD, they, you know, we knew they wouldn't go hyper realistic with it, but like the style that they've chosen, I think looks really cool and gets me, like, I also get excited every time I see a new Nintendo game for that reason. And I didn't expect that the jump from Wii to Wii U be that big. So that's at least nice, but I looked at this and I was like, oh, that looks great. You know, I heard good things about Donkey Kong Country Returns. I have it on my 3DS, but there's a reason I also haven't played them yet, because I'm kind of fatigued on platformers in general, and then and Donkey Kong Country, like, it has a, you know, a certain feel to it that I don't really, I don't think I want to play it.
Yeah, you gotta really like bananas.
It's just the I don't know, the looseness of the platforming, like it just
sure it feels like a 3D 2D platformer, if that makes any sense. Like it's tight enough, like, and those games are difficult, so they have to be tight controls, but it is way looser, floatier, weird than, say, new Super Mario Brothers U.
Yeah,
which is really tight.
So this is kind of the point where I hit in their press conference where I was like, oh, I'm going to be kind of disappointed, because this seemed to be the surprise game they were holding back on. And I think both you and I wanted a 2D Metroid or an appearance of Metroid, and that didn't happen. Sure. And it just, I was looking for Nintendo to have, you know, that killer product that makes the Wii U relevant again. And you know, these are all solid titles, but it's just more of Nintendo, which is, you know, it's kind of why we bought the system, but I did want a little bit more, but...
And then they brought more.
They did. They brought
Bayonetta's bush.
At least they showed some gameplay of Bayonetta.
Yeah. The first thing they do is zoom in. What did they say? They said something about gamers. There was a lot of, like, you know, them pretending that they listen to gamers, what they want. And so they said something about, like, well, last time we showed it, gamers were upset that we didn't show Bayonetta's front. And they said that. Like, those are their words. And then they do a zoom in on her crotch. That's how she comes onto the
screen. That's her debut.
Of her, like, open-legged crotch. I mean, she's got...
guns on her feet.
Clothes on. But it just zooms right up.
Right up
in the hoo-ha. Yeah, it was... Yeah.
And I mean, I love Bayonetta.
You know what it is, though.
But, it's very much a current-gen game, and it's coming out in 2014. It's just kind of like, it's still going to be well after the fact. And so, what a weird exclusive for them to grab. But
I know, that is really strange.
Because, like, yeah, when they said we didn't show Bayonetta's front, we're just like, is this Nintendo Direct going to take, like, a turn as far as... I didn't know if Iwata was... if he fully knew what he was about to show.
Yeah, like, I'm like, wow, they're actually going to show nipples. Dang. You know, are we watching the UK stream right now or the US stream? or maybe it's a Japanese one, it's just a mosaic.
They also did a kind of a montage of the third party, the rest of the third party stuff. And I think that was the roughest thing to see Reggie defend later, is just that third parties haven't given up on it, but there was no evidence that third parties had not. I mean, when you're showing Disney's Planes, which is a video game based off of a straight to DVD Disney property, I don't know.
He could only defend that to a point. And I'm assuming you're talking about that interview you did on Game Trailers, but he basically at one point kind of admitted that there's not a ton of stuff, but then he was saying, you know, we're gonna make a bunch of great. He said we need to make a bunch of great first party stuff, and then all the games people want and buy the system for. And he did, like, kind of say that, and Jeff called him on it, which is great. But then when he said, then we move a bunch of units because of that, and then third parties. So, you know, yeah, okay, you know, that's sure that, you know, people signed up at the beginning. I think it was later on I heard Jason Rubin say something about because of his stint at THQ, he said that Darksiders was, like, the only thing they had in the works for Wii U. That was it. So all that crap up front about, yeah, third-party support, it was all just like these one-off things maybe. So that's...
Just to see how the thing sold?
Yeah. I don't know. It sucked, though. It's crappy to see, like, oh, they're getting these games that...
I mean, their one exclusive that stands out is, you know, the next Sonic game. The Jurassic Park game. Sonic Lost World.
Yeah, that if you liked Mario Galaxy, that game is for you.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of that in there. They even have a co-op mode with a second player. They didn't show it, but they were talking about it. And their second player mode is actually like it sounds kind of like the Galaxy second player. So you're not actually controlling a dude; you're helping out or something. I wonder. Maybe it's a ring that you point at the screen. but it actually doesn't look bad for that kind of game. But
Sonic is the next big third-party thing.
Can we talk about the one that really got us excited?
Potentially, if you can tell me more about the game. Is this the best-looking one we saw?
By far.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Xeno Saga sequel thing. Mm-hmm. X, yeah. So Monolith Soft is making a Wii U sequel to Xeno Saga, and that game was cool. Mm-hmm. Like that game was pretty cool. And I think a lot of people that played that Wii version, you know, that Wii game is only one version, said you know, that it was fantastic. I only played a few hours of it, so I don't really have like a, you know, my own, you know, real well informed opinion. But what I played was cool, and this like sequel looks way more action. And way more epic, and there's more mechs, and it looks more sci-fi than the last one did.
Some of the monsters, like, I kept calling it Monster Hunter, like,
yeah,
because there was some giant dinosaur looking things,
like real big, like, and they showed a lot of that, like half of the scenes they showed were.
And then it also watching the trailer made me question. I was like, is this really on Wii U? Because it looked really damn good. Like I don't know, it looked a little bit too much for the Wii U, but I would gladly be surprised. So,
yeah, it did look good. Oh, but thank you, Verdi, and Xenoblade, not Xenosaga. That was a prior entry in the series.
Oh, okay,
a Xeno game.
I can't keep them straight, but it was the jaw dropping moment of that direct.
Yeah, that looked really good.
And then they closed it with, I think everybody expected. But they did finally show the new Smash Brothers, which will be on 3DS and Wii U, and then look like Smash Brothers, which is, you know, that's cool. They have the villager from Animal Crossing. That was a kind of a funny reveal. But the big...
Not Tom Nook, though.
No. Don't, no. Man, Tom Nook,
Bones.
He would devastate everybody. He's got to be a boss, I think. Yeah. But then there looks like they're going to roll out their kind of their third party characters and reveal the first one, which is a big one because I got pretty excited to see Mega Man show up.
Yeah, that was a fun moment in that trailer.
And then the
Mega Man 2 theme remix, and
so he does like his basic moves, and then he like starts cycling through all these powers, like all of his robot powers, and the first three are from Mega Man 2, which is my favorite Mega Man, so I was like, oh sweet, they just chose Mega Man 2, and then it starts going faster and faster, and it's like, holy shit, I think he has all the robot powers. So that'll be, I wonder like if it'll be kind of like Pokemon balls where everybody can kind of use them, but otherwise he could be, man,
OP. Yeah.
any other standouts?
Wait, that wasn't the only reveal. So they had this, so you know, Nintendo had a pseudo, everybody on Twitter that was there was saying that they basically did have a press conference, but because it was Reggie, I saw pictures, Reggie on a microphone in their room, but everybody's standing like mushed up against each other, all the press, and
their press cage.
Was talking about how press conferences are no good, and that this is better, and it's better to stand than sit. All this crap, and then proceeded to do like a press conference thing, which is really funny and really
dumb. They just didn't want to stream it.
Whatever. But Reggie said that like he wanted everyone to actually have hands on. It wasn't the same if they didn't get to play the stuff. You know, they've been big about that since the 3DS. But So, but then after they did those things, and they said they made everybody wait around for another hour or something like that, and for another big reveal. And they'd been teasing this, I guess, to members of the press for a couple of days.
Yeah.
It was the end. JPT's got it in the chat. It was the Wii Fit Girl is another addition to the Smash Brothers roster. The generic, like the, you know, the Wii Fit Girl, the gray thing. Yes. That was their big reveal. And people were pissed.
Oh my God.
Really pissed. Most people didn't wait around for it, but some of them did.
Got other things to watch. Oh, I would have been pissed, and I probably would have waited around because I'm a sucker for Nintendo that way. So.
Right.
Yeah. As far as I feel like we both kind of tempered our expectations for this Nintendo Direct, but like, where did it land for you?
Oh well, it was just really safe. Everything they did was just super safe, and besides the Xenoblade game, I didn't really, none of it was like, yeah, you know, the Mario Kart, actually, it looks good, I'm sure I'll play that some. The 3D world looks pretty good. Wind Waker, I'll definitely get that. Everything else, probably not. And it's just, like, I wasn't pumped at any point of like, oh man, Nintendo did it, they're back. I never felt any point like they did any of the things that they needed to do to say, you know, like just, and it was really telling. Like there was just like zilch for third party. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you never know when we don't hear about that stuff, but they're holding it back. And E3, they're going to drop it you know, and that didn't happen. And there could still be some things happen later in the year, but realistically, no way that's going to happen. And even these games, some like Mario Kart's not till next year, you know. I mean, we're getting like three of these games come out this year, but that's there's literally like three games that I'm going to buy that are coming out this year for Wii U. Like that's
a nice little. I don't think there's any way that Donkey Kong Country and Mario 3D World make it out. They're both slated for December or end of the year, and you know, I mean, Donkey Kong Country's going to get pushed.
I know
if they're calling they're not calling it December. They're saying end of the year. They've been pushing everything. So.
I know. And Reggie, when pressed on that issue, said that we've been pretty good about our dates. He said that he was really reiterating that those dates were going to be.
You throw out the last 6 months.
We're going to hit those targets. I don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been awful. Like, what in the hell have they been doing? How can, that's like, it's not like they don't have the money to get these games done.
I mean, like, drop a logo, tease something of, like, a bigger thing, because I didn't have anything to get hyped over. It was just like, these are more solid Nintendo games, but it's just, like, not instilling confidence. Well,
but no, there's a bigger problem, because a bunch of these games should have already been out.
Yeah.
Like, they've been working on this system for a while. Like, there's, and all these, like, first-party titles, like, it's one thing if dev kits are in third parties' hands early enough. Although, if I remember right, they kind of did get them decently early, or at least earlier than I think people have had X-Bone and PS4. But the first party stuff, no excuses whatsoever. Like, what in the hell? Why are these games not out? And it's just really weird. I don't understand what the holdup is over there. I mean, because, like, besides that one Mario game that is just like the Wii Mario game, we have had nothing out of them.
Yeah.
And the system's been out for, months now, you know? So that's strange. That's really strange. And I don't think Nintendo knows what they're doing just in general.
They just did not seem to have a software plan at all.
Top to bottom.
Yeah. It was, it's very bizarre, kind of out of character, it seems. I don't know.
They got management issues. I think that's what that's a sign of really out of touch.
I will say, I am glad they didn't do the press conference because it could have came across a lot worse. Like we've known for a while they weren't going that direction. So you knew to, like I said, knew to temper your expectations. Sure. But it's gonna be. I'll be curious to see where they're at next year's E3. Like if they've got any. any momentum.
I mean, the best thing that could have happened for them, I think, would have been, hey, all those games you said we were working on and aren't out yet, here they are. They're done. Or, like, you know, a bunch of them being just, like, ready to go.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just
they need a flood, not a trickle. I mean, you still got a very, like, they're all spaced out. It's still going to be a trickle. It's not going to be...
And yeah, and I understand spacing out. Like, that's, you got to do that, because you otherwise you'll be gaps later. But do you, how long can you wait? Because, man, once November hits, they're sitting on the shelf, and they didn't announce a price drop, and they still could, but they're sitting on a shelf next to a system that is, well, two systems. One of them, though, it's only going to be, what, $50 more, and it's going to provide a whole lot more entertainment just for your dollar. If you like games and other stuff, and I don't know where this is headed for them. I feel really bad for Nintendo, because I want them to do well. Really do.
We always cheer them on.
poor Nintendo. Poor people that make the good Nintendo games.
That's yeah,
who I feel bad for, and Miyamoto. I feel bad for Miyamoto. I feel bad for their board. You know, they're like. Their executives. I don't feel bad for those people.
Let's move on to the closest thing we have to Nintendo as a pure publisher, the Ubisoft press conference. Let's just hit what was your overall reaction to this show?
I love Aisha Tyler.
Good. She's fun. Good. Good.
She does an admirable job hosting. I mean, she's 1,000 times better than Jay Moore, you know. And if you got to have somebody up there who's going to be making jokes and being like the entertainment kind of, you know, host, then she's my favorite. And she's really tall. Yeah,
and she acknowledges that several times.
And easy on the eyes, and she's smart. She really is like a nerd, and she is really smart. Sometimes her jokes are cheesy and stuff, but whatever. Anyways.
I don't think she got as much heat as she did last year.
I thought she was decent last year. I thought she seemed pretty sincere with her enthusiasm and all that kind of stuff. I felt the same way about this year's Ubisoft conference as I did last year's, which is that it was really good. I thought they did a really good job, and they actually had, you know, the games lineup was pretty awesome. I mean, like, Ubisoft is. They've got more games I'm interested in than EA, for sure. Like, so if I look at the list, I'm like, oh, there's like 8 games I'm going to buy from them. And I go, well, 3, maybe 2. I don't know. You know, like, it's tough. I don't know. I can't. Now, I don't have, like, release dates and all this stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I was really pretty excited by their press conference. They did a good job.
Yeah, I think I want to kind of discuss the turning point for me with them was when they pulled out The Crew. So this is the third press conference we've watched. Third press conference we've watched, plus there have been the two console reveals of the PS4 and the Xbox One, which both had their car demos. Like, everybody's got to have a car game for this new generation. And then Ubisoft is going on about, we've got, you know, basically another new franchise for you. We're going in a new direction. And it's a fucking car game. Mm-hmm. And it's called The Crew. And it was the best car game in the show.
Yeah. It looks fun. So this was... was it open world? Would you describe it? Okay. Yeah. So it looks somewhere between
open world,
Burnout Paradise and Test Drive Unlimited, which was kind of cool concept. I actually played a bunch of it, even though it wasn't very good.
I believe one of the Test Drive producers or creative directors is working on the game.
So. Oh, okay. Well, that explains a lot. But then you have and it's multiplayer. It's just like all the other Ubisoft games where they're integrating a whole bunch of kind of cool multiplayer ideas, whether they implement them in a way that's fun or easy, who knows, but it's got it's not just road racing, so you're going kind of anywhere, and they're doing the Ghost Recon gun pull up a gun apart thing
But you're pulling the car apart.
You connect to it. And you pull the car apart, but you can actually tweak everything on the car. And they showed somebody had taken this Camaro and put in, like, these gigantic tires on it and basically turned it into a truck, kind of a pseudo truck, like a kind of like a Baja sort of vehicle. So they showed that, and then their guys are driving around the beach and almost running over a bunch of people. We're not really sure if you can.
Yeah, it looked like all the pedestrians were dodging pretty well.
Yeah. But yeah, it looked fun. Like the multiplayer looked pretty neat.
I mean, from the pulling the cars apart side, it's got, you know, the gearhead guys will like it, but it had enough arcade sensibilities, and the fact that you're a lot of the stuff was off road and felt very open world, like even more so than even more so than Burnout and the most recent Need for Speed, since that's all confined to a city.
Yeah, all trains. Only game with trucks. Only driving game with trucks at the show that I saw.
I think you're right. The only truck, yeah. All the ones with trucks had guns too. So that was a surprise, because we were making fun of it when it started, and by the end of the trailer, it had kind of won all of us over. Yeah. So
it was a lot because we were car fatigued.
Mm-hmm. I think. Well, I don't know about you, but the Division. The reveal of their MMO online RPG shooter.
Sir Thomas Clancy's The Division.
blew me away. That looked fun, fun as hell. The graphics were unreal, as far as that was a very, very much a next gen moment. And I had heard rumors that they said they were gonna have their another Watch Dogs moment, because that was the. They even claim the fact that Watch Dogs set the bar for what next generation is going to be, and they look like they're going to try to top that, and it felt like they did as far as just I remember asking while we were watching it, and I was like, is he playing with NPCs or is he playing with people? Because the I don't know, everything was just so fluid with his group that it felt like they were almost NPC controlled, and they had to be on a line, but the way they were reacting, you knew they were players. And I mean, granted, that's how they run the demo, but it was just it was just like, man, that just it made me want to play with my friends.
Yeah, the demo was not played live; it was recorded.
Right.
It was still in engine, like gameplay view, all that. So who knows how many times they had to run through it to get everyone to. You know, communicate like that and be smooth, but for the ideal scenario, like, that's great, because then you can see, like, what's the best experience I'm going to have with the game? It's going to be in this kind of situation. So their setup for it was so generic, and I was so not... I kind of slumped in my seat, and I'm like, oh, God, what... is this something
that was
hard?
My Watch Dogs moments, because the intro to Watch Dogs last year was the same way.
It was like, in the future, the economy collapses and the world's in. I'm like, oh.
Day three, this happens. Day four.
Yeah, it was like, and it was like, day six, your money's even dirtier than normal, and people get sick from money. some kind of virus that's transmitted by dollar bills or something. I don't know. That's what I got out of it. I'm sure it's much more complicated than that, but people start licking their cash, and which is all got all kinds of stuff on it, and then they all die, and the place is kind of turning to shit. But I don't think this is too far after it turns to crap.
Right.
So there's zombies,
right?
Which I might have been okay with, because Vegas Rainbow Six style zombie game, like, okay, you know, I somehow I'm actually not tired of it, and it's probably because of a certain game we saw, which we'll talk about later, but I thought, like, oh man, it's gonna, like, a real tactical game, it's got dudes in it, and then there's gonna be some creatures, and I still, there was something that's crawling past the doorway and hall.
There's a dog.
Three times. Oh, it was?
Yeah. I thought it was a dog, but yeah.
I thought it was, like, some kind of dude doing, like, the upside down crab walk.
Oh, no.
Like, creepy.
No, I thought it was. They were in the police station. I thought it was like a German Shepherd or something.
Well, you're probably right.
so they
really is cool, but
so third person shooter,
co-op.
Which, yeah. Third-person shooter. They dropped everybody in. Like, they're going to go into this police station and rescue some police officers, I think.
Yeah, I think that was their mission, was rescue dudes and get supplies.
Yeah. And then...
because you're grabbing water bottles and guns.
And then they were just doing, you know, cover-based shooting outside, and then, like, all of a sudden this drone flies in named... I forget the guy's name, James or whatever, who's playing on his tablet, so they should... Yeah, maybe, I think it was maybe Chuck or James. And then so he, like, he is, I think he's highlighting enemies so they can target him, and they, like,
yes,
are shooting this dude through a sign. There's this kind of cool little sequence where the main character is taking cover behind a police car, and, like, the bullets, you can see them individually making holes in the glass through the windows of the car, and then, like, the car's door is slightly ajar, and as he slides, he kind of closes the door a little bit.
That was cool.
And then he pops out over the car and is trying to shoot the other dudes that are hiding behind the other car, and he shoots out the tires so the car shifts down a little bit and helps him get a better angle. But just, like, little attentions to detail like that got me really excited, as far as just, like, you know, and how great the graphics looked. It was like I said, it was a next gen moment.
Yeah, it did look really good. And that it was drop in, drop out on the co-op, because the guy controlling the drone with his iPad.
He's like, "Hey guys, gotta go, guys."
He's like, "Oh, sorry, I'm done pooping, guys. I can't make it anymore. See ya." Like, and he logs out, and then they continue on inside. But there's a bunch of RPG elements too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you saw, like, when the guy picked up a gun. And it had, I think it showed stats on the screen, like, for it. So I think you could have, like, all your weapons and stuff have, like,
and it's got the stats. Like, the way they do the UI, it's really minimalized, but very much just, like,
oh, the magic watch.
when they're adjusting their skills and stuff.
Yeah, that shit was Casio Extreme. Damn, the map. He, like, hits a boop boop, and it's like,
oh.
He has this, like, holographic map on the ground around his character that was, like, functional. That was cool.
Yeah, it's like taking all kind of where they've been headed with Splinter Cell, and I think.
And Watch Dogs.
Yeah, and Watch Dogs, and building off of that.
And Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I guess I don't associate with Assassin's Creed, but you're right. But they're just continuing to build off that, and it just looks. It looks really, really sharp.
All of their games are starting to look the same, though.
That's okay. I mean.
I'm pretty sure I saw, and it might not have been. It wasn't necessarily in the press conference, but I watched gameplay demos of their four big titles, and they all had the same. They all had a sequence where they were running and then vaulting over short walls with the exact same. And it's all third person, and it was all like, "Oh my chase sequence!" Like, "Oh my god!"
I guess if you're not really paying attention, it would be easy to kind of mix up Watch Dogs for The Division a little bit. Well, I think,
and Splinter Cell to some degree. When you see trust me, there's some scenes when if you just took, like, a little slice and saw, like, a guy you're chasing somebody down, and you see, like, "Whoa, wow, that's." Is it that game? Holy cow! But anyways, yeah. At the end of the Division demo, they run into another party of four dudes, PvP.
Yeah, and then zoom out.
Yeah, and it does their trademark zoom out to see. Oh, it's a whole world. There's a bunch of people, and it's all connected.
It was also a pretty badass skyline of Manhattan too. So that was kind of, man, it looked sharp. And right now they've just announced it for PS4 and Xbox One. Hopefully the PC version is also being worked on, but I think I said this to you after I watched that, because this was there were a couple other similar co-op third-person shooters out there, or just other shooters, and I was just like, man, Defiance is looking really silly right now.
But hey, it's good. This is good.
Mm-hmm.
We needed progress at some point, and it took this big push and a whole bunch of money to do it.
I did want to say that they did do another Watch Dogs demo, and it sounds like it sold both of us again. Like,
yeah,
I still wanted to, I kind of walked into this. I want to see more gameplay. I want to better understand how this world works. But, like, they did a whole sequence where he's, you know, the whole world is hackable. That's kind of what they they play up, and. Which at some point meant that he needed to walk up to a dude and grab his cell phone and smash it, which I thought was really funny.
That's hilarious. Because he recognized him, because he walks into it was like the end of a big sequence, I think, where he was like in a shootout or something, and then he's in a car, and then he drives the car to the back of this cafe, gets out, goes in the back door. Is this right?
Yeah.
And he's all acting like all inconspicuous, and he walks into this cafe, and there's a bunch of people in there, and on the TV they're playing a thing that's mentioning him. I think maybe showing his photo, and then a dude recognizes him, and you hear it, and you see a little icon like thing, like, and he's getting his phone out to call the police. And then that was his plan for, like, oh, got to stop this call. He doesn't hack his phone.
Yep.
And throws it on the ground and then walks away. The guy's like, hey. There was, like, four people watching in the couple inside. There was a glass front. Like, what the fear in the sidewalk? Like, what do you... Yeah, that was, like, I wondered if... Surely we're not the only ones that saw that and went, what?
Well, it was just like, it was quite after
the... One little nitpick moment of, it all looked great, and it looked very, the open world stuff that they showed was I thought was, like, emphasized in a way that wasn't in the stuff they showed last year. And so you could kind of get an idea of maybe the flow of the gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I had a good idea of that before, and now I think it's like...
I can still use some answers, but it just... Seeing how interactive the world is gave me a better sense of what I'll be able to play with, and just
sleeping dogs sounds fine, you know, which is kind of looking like that almost.
Yeah. So some of the like the little instances of the violence, like he runs up behind a dude like and kicks him in the back, and then just immediately pops him in the head on the ground, and it was just
awesome.
Oh man, it was really cool.
A little more violence than I expected out of the game too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you can just straight up you shooting, you know, killing, you know, blasting dudes.
So
a lot of ways to approach problems.
It's also got vehicles in the game, and then the big sequence it centered around was basically freeing this dude who was kind of trapped in a room that was being, it sounded like his hacker buddy that was making out with a motherboard or something.
Yeah, it's like, and they showed this really nice model of a motherboard in the game.
Yeah,
it was very realistic looking motherboard, but it looked just like a standard PC motherboard. And he's like, oh, this is kind of some kind of tech I've never seen or something like that. I'm like, oh, I think I know what model number that is.
But he like somehow he hacks into this. I'm guessing it's a security camera that's in this building that is further away from him, and you see, you know, then he starts using the microphone to talk to the dude that's in the room and starts to see the other, like, whoever's investigating, like, he creates a distraction for that guy so he can get out of the room through this camera, and then it starts zooming around the city, and you start to see all these other groups of security that have been activated, and you just, because of this one incident, and it's just really cool to see how things that are further away from you can still affect what's going on, and how you kind of plot your exit. And then, you know, he's basically giving this guy directions through, you know, security cameras throughout the city to get him to move from point to point to meet up with him. And it seemed really fluid. I still don't have a good sense of how that all controls, but looks slick as hell.
They weren't trying to imply that was another player, were they?
No, I don't think so. I thought it definitely looked like an NPC because he was just literally highlighting points and saying move here, and he was following him. So, they didn't.
Was the multiplayer interaction like if it was kind of a situation like that? You know, so you're doing.
Could work. Yeah, maybe.
That could be cool. I don't know how that works, but
I doubt the
elements were.
I doubt another player would try to make out with a motherboard like that. That was kind of
well, maybe not that particular part of the.
Yeah.
Hey, if you can steal this motherboard in the game, you get it for real.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Watch Dogs didn't have any technical issues, right? It was just, yeah, it was the Assassin's Creed demo. No, that was
never Watch Dogs had a little bit of like hit. That was all Sony press conference.
Yeah,
they showed Watch Dogs gameplay. The live gameplay of that and AC3 was Sony press conference. We just cover those now because
but
they showed both of those in action, and there was some stuttering. The AC demo actually ended up getting cut off early because it was freezing up. It went down to sub 1 frame a second, and you know, hey, it was live demo. These are games that are not ready yet.
On a console that's not out.
and sure, there's plenty of people online that are going to laugh about it and poke fun and bitch or say stupid things like, well, I won't say the person's name, but somebody that has way too much clout to be making stupid comments like this actually said, hey, two PS4 games stuttering. Is this, you know, should we be worried about this? Like, that was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen anyone say. That's just stupid. It's that, or we just get canned bullshit trailers.
Mm-hmm.
What do you prefer? I'd rather see the real shit.
Complaining about them cutting to in-game footage being in-game cutscenes. Like, that's what we're going to get.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're not dissuaded from that.
Those will not be problems at launch.
Did Assassin's Creed 4 leave any sort of mark with you? I know I'm officially jaded for the series, so...
Yeah. Tepid, you know. But I liked parts of what they showed, the seamlessness of going from the ground...
Yeah, so that was the big change.
...to the boat looked cool.
Because all the boat missions in Assassin's Creed 3 loaded separately. Mm-hmm. And they basically showed walking through, you know, your typical following the guy through the jungle mission, which the jungle looked pretty sweet or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it did. It was a good-looking game, yeah.
And then he, like, shit starts going down and he runs out and jumps on his ship. And then all of a sudden you're in one of the naval sequences. And no discernible load times. I'm assuming that's where it was hanging up. And that was kind of the problem with the demo. But so that was cool to know they've fixed that, they've made that transition. But
and that was also, to me, maybe a little bit of a promise as to how open world it might be. So now they've only got three major
cities,
yeah. But if there's things to do in like a bigger open area, kind of like in 3. That could be fun. Like there could be some kind of fun stuff if there's, you know, like if those side missions that you would have in normally, like in AC3, you know, instead of like going and skinning whatever, if you can go do something on the water too, and then, you know, what you're doing, fishing. Yeah. I don't want to fish game, but you know what I mean. Like something to, you know.
I know some of the trailers have shown some underwater stuff, so. You never know.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so, you know, go find some treasure.
Treasure hunting.
Yeah, piratey stuff. What am I thinking? I'm fishing. Fuck. All right, let's catch us some bass. Oh, I caught a LeBron. We'll get to largemouth bass later. But it looked good. The game looked pretty good. I want to see more, though. And I saw a little bit of gameplay of a different video of them playing in Cuba, in Havana.
Mm.
And it looked very vertical. That looked kind of cool. So they still have some of that stuff in there, like, you know, big vertical cities.
Yeah, they said they're trying to draw some inspiration from Assassin's Creed 2, which that's a good thing. So, but yeah, I mean, I basically am kind of a proponent of take your breaks from Assassin's Creed. If you haven't played them in a while, it's probably going to have something for you. But for someone that kind of got burnt out in the middle of Assassin's Creed 3, I'm very hesitant to get sucked in again, especially with, you know, this to me was, you know, the fourth best looking game they had. So it's kind of, I kind of rate it right around if I want to try Blacklist or not, and I'd rather kind of try something different. So
Blacklist looked better.
Yeah. Looks fun.
They didn't show that weird, like, super actiony shooty bullshit. It looked more like you were playing Sam Fisher.
Yeah.
Sneaking around. That looks kind
of neat.
Except we had way too many lights on his suit. Fuck. Yeah. Six super bright, like lens flare causing green LEDs. And he's sneaking in this like pitch black facility, this warehouse facility, whatever factory, and killing guys and stuff. Like, how in the hell are they not seeing this? Man, it was bright. Yeah. But that game looks okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you like Splinter Cell. And the Mercs spy stuff looks fine.
So, yeah, sounds like we think Ubisoft put on a pretty damn good show.
Trials.
But, yeah. Trials in space. Trials in space. Mm-hmm.
Oh, why wasn't South Park at the...
They didn't. It was there. They didn't. They just showed another trailer. They showed the, like, I'll teach you the secret deadly fart thing.
No, people have seen the game in action now. They're actually showing, like, what it looks like. And it... Like, everyone that's seen it said it looked awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. They still...
I don't know anything about it because these are just brief mentions, but, like, I would like to know what that looks like when you play it.
Yeah, me too.
It's this year, right?
Yep.
Looks so like more... the damn game. It's
yeah. They showed Blacklist. They showed more Rocksmith stuff. Rayman Legends.
Jerry Cantrell.
Yeah, that was random. The free-to-play game, Mighty Quest for Epic Loot, dumb trailer, game looks fine. slapstick trailer.
It was cute.
Don't worry, there's another Just Dance. New Trials game for next generation consoles, Trials Fusion, and then it looks like they're making a tablet game called Trials Frontier for next year. So, but all I know is the motorcycle jumped through the clouds into space and. I didn't know what was going on, but more trials is a good thing. So.
Yep.
Let's move on to EA, which doesn't sound like there's quite as many games to get excited about, but what'd you think of... So PopCap kicked off their show, and so EA's press conferences have always been, like, super, super straight-laced, just, like... very corporate-y, very no personality, and they opened with PopCap, and yeah, it was weird, and the dude was way too excited, but it was refreshing to me for an EA press conference, and then he reveals the next Plants vs. Zombies game, which you thought was Plants vs. Zombies 2, and then what we thought it was, what did we think it was spelling? Warden? Something like that?
I thought it was, Yeah, damn it. Now I don't remember what the word Farden or something like that. So it was the way they were rolling the letters zoomed in up on the screen. Whatever.
I bought it. I thought they were starting off the show with Battlefield 4 because they kind of did the similar music and they're zooming in the letters and then you start to notice like, oh, the music's a little off and there's something, you know, the graphics Those don't look like military guys, but yeah, Plants vs. Zombies, Garden Warfare, the third person
co-op. Warden, that's what it was. I thought I saw it.
The third person action co-op multiplayer game from PopCap.
Like, what the fuck?
Looked good. Like, as far as graphically, looked great.
I did a complete 180 at first. I went, what the hell is this? Because I don't know what I was. What did I want? More regular old Plants vs. Zombies? No. So it looks awesome.
It does.
It actually looks really good. It has. I kind of feel like they are graphically are doing that style that Nintendo has figured out with the Wii U. Mm-hmm. But
this is the next gen version of that.
Yeah, and it makes me go, oh, it's too bad Nintendo games aren't on PlayStation. it looks like a kind of a tower defense-y kind of
a little Lion Brigade to it.
Yeah, but PvP in there? Is there actual player versus player, or is it just
Come to think of it, I think it was all NPCs. I don't think people were controlling zombies, so maybe it isn't
defending, like, you know.
So it's definitely co-op, and lots of different classes to play as, and then, you know, your different turrets or whatever you want to call them to place. So lots of variety to your characters and to the enemies. So, but the question I had, and I bring this up because I think it sounded like Kylie was watching when this was, when you were watching this, who is the audience for this game?
Well, first of all, kids are pretty good at using controllers, just in general. Like, they figure stuff out, and because they don't really, they don't seem to get frustrated with that kind of stuff. So play this with your kids, because that will be awesome.
Play it with the kids. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, that's you know, it's co-op, so, you know, play with the kids. But I think there's a lot of gamers that they don't. I mean, people. Adults play games that are fun, and they don't care what it looks like necessarily. Like, it's not like that's, you know, you look at Plants vs. Zombies, the first one, and you think, like, oh, that's, you know, it's cartoony and it's kind of silly. Everybody played that game. So why wouldn't you play a game with the same kind of style, but with, like, really fun third-person shooting? Like, well, duh. I think this is everyone. And you're, yeah, so Kylie walks in the room, and she sees it, and, like, hey, it's new Plants vs. Zombies, and she looks at Watch for a second, and she goes, that her first comment was, this was confusing, because there was, like, a lot of shit just blowing up on the screen, and it is, they don't really hold back on that kind of thing. You know, I mean, if just replace all the graphics with, you know, just brown,
yeah,
you know, and super soldiers and machine guns, and it would just look like every other game, maybe, except this way, you know, I think she was warming up to it as the trailer went on, or as the gameplay went on. It was, there was a smile on her face, and she got kind of excited. I was the same way. I'm like, okay, this looks fun. You know, they got me. It's charming as hell.
Yeah, it is.
And that might have been the most exciting thing they showed.
I'm looking through the list real quick. You might not be far off. Actually,
there's two games other than this one, but this was one. This is on my list now. This is on my list. I kind of like that style of game. We had a ton of fun with playing Iron Brigade together, co-op. Like,
and this looks like that. Plus, it's silly and adorable.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like great. Like you said, yeah, it did look really, really chaotic and. I was actually kind of worried when I heard that Kylie said it looked confusing, or, but because the chaos is silly, I think it might make people have a little bit more tolerance for it till they get it figured out.
Might be a great gateway shooter.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what EA doesn't go after the kids all that much. Mm-hmm. Like, as far as, you know, they've got their Maxis stuff that hits. And some of the other PopCap stuff that hits the casual crowd, but, like, this made a lot of sense as far as, like, kids will pick up and play this game, and it's a good bridge game for them. So,
PopCap makes good games, and
can they make a shooter?
I'm really excited to see them do something bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a welcome surprise, and not at all. Too, at the end of it. Yeah, he did. And Peggle 2!
He jumps in the air, like, he was expecting to freeze frame while he was midair.
And then I was like, oh god, don't make me watch. I was like, that's enough for me, don't make me watch a trailer, and they didn't. So, yeah, like, please bring PopCap back to your press conferences. And then they follow that up with, I think the other, well, there's another game that we're excited for, but we don't really know anything about, but... Respawn got to debut gameplay of Titanfall, the game they've been working on. So this is the development team from Infinity Ward that created Modern Warfare 1 and 2 that has since gone to work for EA. And so they have a new... God, I mean, is it really... I guess it's kind of a sci-fi shooter, but... sci-fi military shooter, looks like near future with mechs. Would be how I'd describe it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that really liked Battlefield 2142 that are going to go really bananas over this game. Because it has robots and future guns, and it's got jetpacks, and it's got big ships that drop in all those things, and it has what looks like seamless campaign/multiplayer. It was hard to tell exactly what we were looking at.
It felt like all multiplayer to me, but...
Yes, but it's got AI, and I don't think there... I think that it's one mode, I think. Like, I don't think you go single player or multiplayer.
Okay.
And besides, you have to be online to play it anyway, so might as well integrate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, there is no offline mode. It's an exclusive to the Xbox One, Xbox 360, and PC...
Yeah, this was the beginning of my frustration with a lot of the reveals. You couldn't tell what they're exclusive for and what exclusive actually meant, because, especially with, like, I mean, it seems like PC's always, you know, it waits for that exclusivity window to branch off, but...
And sometimes they just mean exclusive box art.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah,
we've
hats,
got foil.
Exclusive hats, but... Yeah. But yeah, this one... To Microsoft, is it? It's not going to be on 360, is it? I thought it was just.
Okay. Someone else is doing the port.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
So, which is funny because all the shit that are like, the cloud's doing all these things. AI and physics in the cloud, which I think, it just sounds like complete bullshit. There must be like, well, technically, these things are AI and physics, and they're calculated on a dedicated server or something. You know, like, it's not like magic voodoo stuff to, like, they're trying to pass off as marketing speak is dumb. But because they're doing it on 360 and PC, is that tapping into the X-Bone network? Anyways, the game itself looked fun. Everyone got a jetpack. There's a little bit of wall running and that kind of stuff going on. It's fast. It the stuff they showed was like kind of a brightly lit outdoor futuristic setting. It's kind of generic, but the mechs made the demo.
And they kind of needed to, but yeah, they got me super excited.
Yeah, they're not the big plotting things like you might expect. And they're also not like super Gundam looking either. They're more like say the bad guy from RoboCop 2, or I know we've seen like robot suits like this in movies, but I'm drawing a blank right now. But they moved like humans, but they were about 20 feet tall, I would say.
Actually, reminded me of kind of the Matrix guy, the little, I don't know, yeah, the ones, yeah, from the Matrix.
Oh yeah, but these were like way more agile than those. Yeah. So they did move. They were almost human-like in their movement, which I thought was really neat. The way they were animated was just really smooth, and they got big guns and
I was actually kind of thinking on some of the shots that were going on in the distance. If you didn't actually see the soldiers next to them, and you like just kind of came into this game, and you would think that everybody was just in big armored suits.
Yeah,
like they did move like humans, and that was definitely cool. And then, but the different ways you could try to take them down, or the way they would open up, I think one of the demos opened up with the commander basically giving his speech with his cockpit, you know, open. He's in the suit, and then we later find out like as people are climbing into their mechs, you can shoot the dude out of it.
Yeah,
and just
hit eject if you're getting in trouble, and you can shoot the guy while he's in the air, but he's coming back down. Yeah,
yeah, I think we're gonna have some truck related fun with those mech suits.
Yeah,
but yeah, I was definitely impressed with Titanfall. I did not, you know, when it kind of got revealed recently, I was so that's what you've been working on, and then with and you know. It was easy for me to blur the lines between this and Destiny, which is, we'll get to that later, what Bungie has been working on.
Very obvious, like very different games, so we see that.
And then you and I were kind of talking offline just about, like, overall, I think we're both a little bit more excited for the next gen than we anticipated, at least at this point, because I was putting a lot of next gen on Titanfall and Destiny, and because it's kind of... They're made by very established developers that have kind of defined this generation. And so you see this is your next big thing. And I, like, honestly, just the stuff I've been reading about them without getting to see them in action, I've been kind of lukewarm on them. So it was nice to finally, when Titanfall was at the Xbox One conference, when that kind of got off on the right foot, I started getting a little bit excited. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It did look as good as you think that it should from those guys.
Yeah,
and at least it was doing different stuff. Like, you don't think you wouldn't look at it and go, oh, this is the Call of Duty guys,
right?
Which I think is the best thing they could have done, to not just do another.
How much do you think that was the Source engine, though?
Man, that's weird. That was a weird thing to hear, and that one got kind of spoiled from a bunch of stuff got spoiled from that game because of the Game Informer issue leak from the last weekend. But wow, Source engine looks really good. They said they modified it a lot.
I'm sure.
A lot, but makes me wonder what Half-Life 3 looks like.
I don't think you can find that out at E3.
You know that exists.
Sure does. Sure, some on one of Gabe's computers. I'm sure it does.
We still have more EA games here that we have to mention.
Well, we have to mention the teaser logo for... teaser logo accompanied by a Star Wars cutscene for Star Wars Battlefront. That was just, you know, they haven't done shit with that, right?
Nope.
Like, okay.
Nope.
Like, they get the exclusive license, and like, we need to just put this teaser out. And I thought that was awesome. Like, honestly, Nintendo needed to do a little bit more of that. I don't even care if you're, like, you're just thinking about a general idea for the next Zelda game. Like, give us something to get excited about. Because, you know, everybody got excited for the Battlefront trailer, and there was nothing there.
No, it was just a CG snowspeeder crashing, and then an AT-AT leg stopping in some snow.
Could have been used for anything Star Wars.
Like, what the hell? Like, we got on YouTube. It was
a thrown-away cutscene from another game, probably.
Yeah. DICE-made Battlefront game. Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And,
did anything...
So then they showed NBA Live, which they showed LeBron James.
Nope.
It wasn't him?
No, NBA Live.
No, Dribble. No, this is Bounce Tech.
Yeah.
This is too backwards. So they're showing off their new sports games. They've got more football.
Hey, they got, yeah.
Higher res footballs. And then they some soccer / football. And then they show the new, a little bit of the new Live, and they just show like a player dribbling, and then they bring the player out on the stage, and they talk about dribble. It's called Bounce Tech. It's their new dribbling technology. And
this is what's been holding NBA Live back. Unrealistic dribbling.
It was like, God, doesn't everybody every year come up with a new right stick control scheme, and they call it another name? You know, it's funny. And they said something about like, yeah, now this year or this time, the ball always leaves his hand when he dribbles, and it gives him a lot more control. I don't even know what that means. They're admitting that their guys always traveled before. I'm not really sure. it was really dumb. All the basketball.
I don't really want to spend too much time on the sports stuff because honestly,
sports.
Somebody who bought Madden last year, I don't see the next gen leap and what they've shown with. For NBA Live in particular, no, this is I forget if it's 3 or 4 years now that it's been since they
three released. I think.
And it looked so much worse than what 2K showed. And
but the UFC was the other sports game they had, and they brought out Dana White and a couple of fighters, John Jones and Henderson. But they had Bruce Buffer come out, and he's the guy who does what's his older brother's name? He always did all the wrestling and boxing stuff.
Michael
Buffer. Let's get ready to rumble.
That's okay. So
it's
his brother.
Buffer, yeah,
this is the same family.
DeVito of the two. They're not twins, but if they were, he would be the Danny DeVito. And he came out and brought more energy in his like 30-second introduction thing than anybody at any press conference the whole time. He would have ate the Peggle dude for breakfast. Oh, man, he was so pumped. Every time I see him, I watch a lot of UFC. Every time I see him, I get pumped because he loves his job so much. He takes it so seriously, and he did his full thing. There was no nervousness. No, he didn't care what people thought. He just did his intro thing, and it was fantastic. Go watch that if you like UFC at all.
You got pumped. I didn't know who he was.
Oh, shit. It was great. And then they teased Dragon Age 3. They didn't actually. They should have.
Inquisition, yeah.
And they
next fall. Next fall.
Character was her name Morrigan, I think, from 1.
People reacted to her.
She was a pretty awesome character.
But you were saying you loved Dragon Age 1, or that it was a great RPG. So hopefully, this gap here has been more returning to that form instead of rushing out another game like Dragon Age 2.
Mm-hmm. And Battlefield 4 looks awesome.
Yeah, tell me about what to be excited about with Battlefield 4, other than the fact that apparently you can bring down a skyscraper, because that was unbelievable.
Well, okay. Battlefield 3 looks amazing on the computer. And Battlefield 4, just when I was watching that trailer, I wasn't thinking, oh my god, this looks a lot better than 3. I never thought that. I thought, yeah, it looks really good. And then I was trying to think, like, maybe if I saw them side by side, I would go, oh. But more detail on everything, maybe bigger maps. At least there's more stuff in maps, it seemed like. Taller buildings, kind of shit, with a lot of detail. But the destruction, if the destruction stuff carries over from the two moments they showed to everything on the map,
yeah,
that would be cool. I don't think that's going to be the case, because they had they were talking about this evolution of the map kind of thing. I think there's going to be certain things in the maps that can be destroyed. Even then,
I think though, I'm guessing, but like the way they were talking about, like I found like a foundation pillar, like in the earlier sequence to that, mm-hmm. I feel like there's going to be a lot of those little spots, sure. But then maybe like one big one or two big event type scenarios.
Okay,
maybe.
Okay. Just for a short setup, you see a squad of guys running around this big multiplayer game, and they go into this like a parking garage kind of thing. Above them on the street, directly above them, is a tank. They blow out a support pillar in the little parking thing. It collapses the road that the tank is on. The tank actually falls down below into the place they're in. That was kind of cool. And then they go into this big skyscraper. They go up. They take an elevator that actually works and takes them to the like this top floor. I don't think it has multiple floors, probably, but did it go from the ground to the roof? But and they're on the roof, and they shoot a helicopter, and then these tanks down below shooting at the building. A guy who's playing as the commander. And the new returning commander mode, I think from an iPad,
right.
Calls in artillery on the tanks, blows them up, but it's too late for the building. It starts to collapse. All the guys jump out. Everyone always has unlimited parachutes because it's Battlefield, and they parachute down, and this gigantic building collapses in a very cool way. My only concern is if there aren't enough of those kinds of... places, like if there's only a handful of places that can be destroyed, no one will ever go to those places that can be destroyed, because everyone will destroy them because everyone wants to see the cool collapsing whatever, and it'll be get rid of a one.
Unless that's like I don't know. Nah, I doubt that. I was gonna say unless it's like a co-op mission, something you have to do, but I don't know. I can't be right.
Yeah, maybe there's like an objective to do
it. But you're right. There had to be some big incentive to get whatever's at the top of that building. But
right. Otherwise,
it was a good technical display.
Looked really good.
Yeah. And then they concluded their press conference with a reveal of, I don't know if they actually called it Mirror Edge 2. Did you notice? Did they say 2?
I don't know. That's what I wrote down.
Because, I wrote it down too, but later I was reading that this is actually just they're going to remake it. Like, they're going to do the first one all over again because... First one definitely had some issues, and it's been long enough and had, has a cult following for sure, but I think if they think they can get it right, that it's worth a shot. And it looked damn good. Next-gen Mirror's Edge game, like, seeing that style continued. I'm saying graphically it looked damn good.
I'm sure it'll look amazing and probably like that, I've got a friend who works over there, and he was saying on Facebook to his friends that helped put that together, like, holy shit, nice job, and something along the lines of, like, that was a slap-together bullshit thing. Like,
oh, wow.
That was not an actual game.
Well, it did say, this is coming when it's done. So that was the only, like, they're not even tagging 2014 with that. So.
I think that was computer magic. I don't think there was any, that was an actual, that was real anything. you hear about that. You hear about people. Put together basically a CG thing that looks like a game and then say, like, hey, this is kind of what it may look like. And that's
There's a line between.
I'm sure it will look like that. It definitely, they can make a game that looks like that.
There's a line between your Star Wars Battlefront reveal that shows nothing and showing like demos and shit like Aliens Colonial Marines before you really hit that deception line, I feel. So hopefully, maybe next year they'll actually have a demonstration or a game to actually show off. But
sure,
that franchise still exists, and why not? So
yeah, and I'm sure it'll be fun, and if they have Oculus Rift support, it'll be great.
Cool.
That did not appear at anyone's press conference. I was sad about Oculus Rift.
Oh, no, yeah, you're right.
I was hoping, like, console support would be awesome. Sony would be the only one that would do it, but it didn't happen.
How are you doing? We've got Microsoft and Sony to go, but we're kind of getting long on time. Okay. We just wanted to make sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right, moving on to... Let's start with Microsoft. They kicked off E3, technically. So, let's do the games first, and then we'll talk kind of general reactions. Let's see. What? I don't even... That's so long ago. Let me double-check these notes here. As far as what jumped out at me, honestly, remember at the time, Titanfall jumped out at me. So, well, Titanfall jumped out at me, and then the rapey comments during Killer Instinct jumped out at me.
Oh, what did they say? I don't remember now.
So, they brought out a community manager to play a producer of Killer Instinct, and the community manager happened to be a lady.
Yep.
And she got her ass kicked during the first round by the male producer. And he made a comment that said, don't worry, it'll be over soon. Like, along those lines. And it was just, okay. And my problem with it was, everything up to that point seemed really, really scripted. Like, even their entire, they're playing it's a pre-recorded fight. And all their other lines sound really, really scripted. And so I can't tell if that was scripted or if he threw in a really bad joke. If it was scripted, it's a whole other level of a problem. But the fighting community has enough image issues. But anyway, it was kind of cool to see them bring back Killer Instinct, but I still don't know if that's great idea.
Come on. That was... It's a free-to-play game, and you get one character... You have to buy individual characters.
Did the announcer sound off to you?
Yeah. They did the announcer, sort of. And then they had kind of like a remix of thing of the music. And they were like, oh, yeah, ultra combos. Look at these combos. And, man, I know everybody was saying Killer Instinct. But I don't think anyone really wants that game.
Yeah.
They don't know. Who wants to play that? It's not, it didn't look like, it wasn't something like, oh, it's exactly what you would expect them to do with a new Killer Instinct if they just didn't put much effort into it. Like, they're not going to do new or different. They're just going to basically update Killer Instinct.
I think that's a fair assessment.
It looked dumb. I'm not big into fighting games, though, so I'm obviously not the audience for that, but in my unqualified, unprofessional opinion, Killer Instinct looked dumb.
Yeah. Actually, I think the standout, correct me if I'm wrong, for both of us might have been Dead Rising 3.
That's one on my list. Okay.
Where did you stand with Dead Rising?
Liked the idea of the game.
Playing them had not been fun.
But boy, this...
Did it look like Dead Rising?
It looked way better. And I can't, you know, I'm sure they had, I know in Dead Rising 2, there were lots of zombies on the screen. I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
But not that many.
But wow, there were a lot of zombies on the screen in this one. And they all were doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked really, really good. And there were cars. And there was some shooting. And then there was you can make the combo weapons anywhere now.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff's still in there, and it's fun, but it just looked a little more... I know, they said, like, the humor, some of that's still going to be in there, but it just looked a little more gritty, more realistic.
Okay if it's not.
It was outside, like, the setting they showed reminded me of Case Zero. Remember that little $5 thing they put out? The outdoor kind of...
So it's hard to tell if that's going to be the whole game, but I hope so.
But man, he went into a building and put a flashlight on a gun and was walking around between rooms and stuff, and it just looked way less wonky. The melee combat still kind of looks similar, which was a little disappointing, but the gunplay looked really good.
Yeah, they did more of a Resident Evil camera shooting. So
and the running around and traversing and getting through crowds and all that stuff looked good, and it just looked like. The parts of Dead Rising that I liked or that I wanted to like were all just kind of brought up a notch in polish, and I'm really excited for that.
That was another
X-Bone exclusive, so
yeah. That was another trailer that I was lukewarm on when they when it started, by the end, I was really excited for it. Like I said, it definitely stood.
Most exciting thing in that demo, I thought, was when he's driving the car and he's plowing through big hordes,
mm-hmm.
and you know his car would slow down. The more dudes he would run over, he'd run into like 50 zombies, and it would kind of slow his car down a little bit. But as he would drive out of these crowds, there'd always be one or two hanging onto the car, and he could hit the brakes or run into something, and they would fly off. But if they stayed on there, they would crawl in and like grab him. Like at one point, he's still driving, a zombie's on the driver's side, starts to pull him out of the window, and he's half out of the car, and he's fighting it off, but you're still driving the car down the street while you're like hitting the zombie. And the camera's like zoomed in on it, and I was waiting for him to run into, you know, a wall. That sounds like there's going to be some cool moments there. I hope it's co-op.
Yeah. It needs to be co-op. And I was nice to see that you could also kind of flip the car and drive it like we drive it, because he didn't stop that car all that cleanly.
Nope.
And then he called in for air support, and zombies went flying, and that was pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah.
But we're pretty sure that he killed himself in that airstrike, too. So.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah, I definitely didn't expect Dead Rising 3 for whatever reason. Maybe I should have, but that was awesome. So what's one of your other standouts?
Well, Metal Gear Solid 5 was what they opened with. And,
did they show that?
Yeah.
Or was it
the very first thing.
Or was it Red Dead?
Yeah, I didn't get to see it really well. I was at the first 30 minutes or so of this press conference. I was having to watch from my phone because I was on the way back from a short day trip, and I had the sound going through the car speakers, but the screen on 3G, you know, my iPhone 3GS, it just couldn't see real well. So I watched this earlier today again, and God, it looks awesome.
It does look awesome.
And yeah, the Red Dead comparison is because when you start the game, it's a big boss and Ocelot on horses
in Afghanistan.
Yeah, and it looks like a spaghetti western, and it's fantastic. That game looks really good. That's a good looking game. And the all the sneaking around stuff looked good. This seems like a continuation of that first stuff they showed with the Ground Zeroes stuff, and they're actually just calling it the Metal Gear Solid 5: The Phantom Pain now. Kiefer Sutherland is playing Big Boss.
Yeah.
Which I'm okay with the voice change, because they Big Boss had a different, in Metal Gear Solid 4 had a different voice than Snake.
Okay.
You know, it's like he got older, his voice changed, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I'm okay with that. David Hayter.
Has David Hayter talked himself out of a future job?
He's been super butthurt on Twitter, and I thought it was just a joke, and maybe they were going to bring him out or something.
Yeah, like, me too.
But then again, I still think there might be another surprise here, because at some point, Big Boss has to become the Big Boss from Metal Gear 1.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Is this Outer Heaven?
Oh.
Because they mentioned it in the trailer.
Interesting.
In that Red Band one, at least, I think. This may be the lead-in, I think. This may be the prequel to Metal Gear 1. What if...
That's kind of cool.
What if Hayter is playing Solid Snake? And then, like, the last chapter of this game is Metal Gear 1.
They don't know. What if they... They pull a Metal Gear 2, except you're playing as... Yeah.
Yeah, but that would be the ultimate... Like, that would be the best, though. It's like, oh, big reveal. You only play as Big Boss for the first half of the game, and then you play as Solid Snake. Oh, that would
even... even without your Metal Gear super fandom, and being someone that didn't play... Hell, I barely played 3, so didn't play 3 or 4... And I also feel like I'm pretty jaded when it comes to a Metal Gear trailer. Like, I've seen a lot of good ones. This kind of floored me, and it actually looked fun to play, which I can't always say is the main drive to playing a Metal Gear game. Like, the gameplay it has its quirks, but this looked like a next gen Metal Gear game rather than just, you know, continuing what they've been doing, and looked much infinitely more playable than, for some reason, Metal Gear Solid 4 intimidated me a little bit with some of the stuff they were doing there.
This actually looks fun to play, even if you don't give a shit about all that crazy story that is Metal Gear Universe.
And because of the way it sounds like Metal Gear 4 ended, I feel like I'm going to be okay just jumping in again. And I don't know. And then I just really enjoyed like the way they cut the trailer and introducing all the characters and all their silly names and all that stuff too. So it was just a really entertaining trailer too. So
yeah.
A great start to the show, honestly. And also like kind of one of the big wins for Microsoft, just the fact that this is coming to Xbox One and PS4.
But it is, but, yeah.
But yep. Good that it's not exclusive. So, and then yep. the other big one might have been the Witcher 3 trailer. Like, just
man, that looked good.
Yeah,
Jesus, we saw the screenshots for that game and it looked crazy, but in motion, fuck, that is a good looking game.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So a lot of variety of battles against different animals and that sort of thing, because it's what the is it the Big Hunt, is that the name of it?
Wild
Wild Hunt, sorry.
Wild.
Much better name than the Big Hunt.
Cabela's Cabela's Witcher 3 big game hunts.
This game is man,
big game hunts.
It is gorgeous looking too, like Geralt. As far as
wait, Geralt or Gestalt? Geralt,
I think it's Geralt. Yeah. Your Geralt.
Geralt. Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember his name.
But I know I was just glad to see this in a kind of a mainstream conference. Just mm-hmm. I feel like CD Projekt is an amazing developer, and really anytime they can get touted to a wider audience, I think this is a good thing. And
I need to play Witcher 2.
It's yeah. Yeah. I need to play more of it.
This is the trilogy. This is the last one, so
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else stood out to you?
Okay, so there was a weird Halo teaser thing. That was weird. It was like, oh, there's a guy in a cloak walking along some sand, and then, or somebody in a like a hooded cloak, and then the reveal was it was Master Chief, and then it just was like Halo. There's a Halo. That was weird. Why does Chief need to cover up? He was in his armor. Why was he wearing a cloak?
Like, didn't want to get sand in it, I guess. I don't
know. It was real dumb.
But yeah, and then the fact that they called it just Halo, just a tease of, like, we're not calling this Halo 5, and I'm kind of like, but you've already said you're working on a new trilogy.
Right.
And maybe. The way this, how generic this trailer is, it could be tied into whatever else you announce next. This isn't even...
Yeah. Well, this is what you wanted out of Nintendo, so don't you just sit there.
True.
They showed Rise.
Never mind, you're right.
They showed Rise, that previously Kinect stupid looking
Son of Rome or something.
Now it's a stupid looking controller game.
Okay.
The graphics are nice. The graphics are nice. Okay. It looked generic as shit. That did not look fun to play, and they showed it in action. Like, that didn't look fun.
Okay. Just take away the fact that it seemed like every combat sequence required a quick time event?
I know it's not required. I know what you're going to say. I know that it's the QTE stuff is optional. It still looks boring shit.
Okay. I didn't know that. Like, it looked like it was...
Those are like finishers? Finishers. And they just kept doing
it. It's really distracting. But
everything else looked... the setting, awesome. The idea of like, hey, let's do the phalanx and let's, you know, all that kind of... Like, that kind of stuff. Like that. Yeah, that looked... Yeah. It just looked dumb and boring to play. It didn't look fun at all.
It looked really...
surprise me later when it comes out, maybe.
Methodical, but I don't know.
That combat looked really boring.
Yes. And I guess my reaction was, if you're going to make a Roman warriors / gladiator type of game, you have to nail the combat. And the fact that the general consensus was that looks boring, it has to get axed before that it hits that point. That was just kind of shocking to me, because I feel like I said, just build off the Batman fighting engine. Somebody needs to take that to a 2.0 type of level, and you know, Sword and Shield seems kind of perfect for that. And it could have been much more faster paced without feeling like a God of War, because I guess that's what I kind of got excited about, is as up close and personal as that that game scene with its camera and, you know, the as great as it looked graphically, there was some potential there. And I was like, how do you make this boring with all of this shit going on around you? And so that was really, really frustrating because, you know, they wanted it to be this big, big deal. And
it looked like Infinity Blade on your TV.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Should have left it a Kinect game and then packed in a sword and a shield in the box. That's Rise. Ignore it for now. Maybe it'll change. There was a Crimson Dragon trailer.
Kind of. Half of one.
Is that like the Panzer Dragoon dude?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But there was no audio. I didn't.
That was such a bummer. And then they didn't like even acknowledge it.
I know. Say something. Sorry about the audio problems.
Yeah, this was the one with they had audio issues throughout the whole entire thing with, you could basically hear the sound guy talking in the background, right?
Right, that was awful. And so we kept trying to make out like what they were saying, and there was there were a couple of funny moments, but it was actually very distracting. It went from funny to, I mean, I wasn't embarrassed for them. I was mad. I wanted them to turn it off. Then they showed Project Spark, which...
You're excited about that.
So that looks like the evolution of Kodu. Project Kodu. So that was for the 360 downloadable, but that was not the good version because they didn't keep it up to date. And also just free for Windows. This was like it's a game where you make games. And it's a great teaching tool used in a lot of schools. We used it in our summer camp program at NetHeads, and it's kind of like a cool way to teach like conditional logic to kids that have like zero programming experience. But the games you make with it, not always the most fun games, you know. Like it's like, hey, look, I made a thing, and I'm proud of you. That's good, but it's not something you're gonna want to play a bunch. And this actually looked like that concept, you could actually make some fun gameplay out of it. And you kind of have to just go see that when yourself. It actually, I don't think it demoed really well.
Right, right. I was kind of
struggled with that, but it, you know, if you can get a lot, you can get enough out of it to see exactly what some of the possibilities are there, and that looked pretty neat.
Yeah, that's kind of. I mean, they needed one of those for sure. Tell me how you feel about Drivatars. So Microsoft's car game of the show, Forza 5.
That's a new transferring. That is Drivatar. A dumb name.
Your car keeps driving even when you're offline.
Man, I thought that was stupid. Like, they were like, yeah, so the AI that you're racing against is really your friend's AI. Like, as you play, the game watches your style and then makes an AI version of you that drives in that style and puts you online against your friends when they're driving. And what's the point? Either let me drive with my friends or just give me the AI that just gets the fuck out of the way. Because when I'm playing online games... driving games, everyone's an asshole. Like, everyone's just trying to win any way possible, and if they figure out that, well, in the physics in this game, if I go around this corner and I push you in the front right bumper, I slide off and go faster and you get stuck against the wall. You know, everyone's run into you. It's really annoying. It's the reason why, like, in iRacing, you have to get a license just in order to drive the slowest cars in the game in a multiplayer race. So they go, well, you know, but it's... So it's not exactly your friends, but they kind of drive like your friends. Like, I hope not. My friends are assholes. Like, it seemed like they needed an excuse to like have a new feature, you know, that uses the cloud.
Yeah, yeah.
The magic cloud. And they go like, hey, what, AI in the cloud? Yeah, that we're going to, a lot of data, because it's a cloud, we can store information. Car game, Forza, looks cars. Cars are shiny.
Mm-hmm. So it definitely looks cars.
Well, there's only two McLaren Z1s and whatever in the world, and we got one of them in Forza.
Oh man! And then they try to sell it by coming up with a really, really dumb name. Let's see. I thought it was really cool to see Ted Price from Insomniac on stage.
Oh yeah, there was
seeing
that.
Third party. you know, used to be second party developers branching out, and now used to be with Sony. Him on the Microsoft stage was a nice moment, and they announced Sunset Overdrive, mm-hmm. open world shooter.
Energy drinks.
Yeah, shoot some energy drinks.
F2 Scout.
It was really hard to, like, people were passing judgment on this almost immediately, but like,
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, that's kind of more what you need to walk away with it from. Other than like, yeah, it's another open world shooter, but it's definitely got some personality and style to it. So why not give it a chance? So, but that was it did not debut well. They would have almost been served better with the logo than like, yeah. show us a demo of the game for this one, not just the trailer. But I want the best for Insomniac, especially after Fuse stumbled. So, sure. But good to see that they're continuing on. So, it sounded like this was an exclusive. So this is a Microsoft Studios published one. So,
Minecraft is coming to Xbone.
Mm-hmm. And, bigger worlds.
And it's may have closer feature parity to the PC version.
Yep. Closer.
Mm-hmm.
can't go as far to say exact or address any of the modding.
No, I wouldn't say that, but.
Yeah. Quantum Break, Time Cops. That's kind of what we were calling it. That's Remedy's next game.
Yep.
Still didn't really show. I mean, it was all in-game stuff, I think.
They're showing. I think that's basically like their prototype version. They're not talking a whole lot about that real, like, the actual gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be third-person shooter when it's doing the action stuff. Everything else is going to be adventure-y and cutscene-y, and the TV show is part of it's the comes I guess it's maybe on the disc.
Oh really?
It's not like a thing that you're gonna watch on Sci-Fi Channel. I think it's actually gonna be.
Surely you can stream that through some Xbox service too.
Well, maybe not though.
I
don't think so. I think this is
like you almost always, instead of having cutscenes, you have episodes of shows.
Well, what was that Night Springs?
Mm-hmm.
It was in Alan Wake. They're just doing that, and they like to make their little TV shows.
Yeah.
This one actually has, it's part of like, it's, I guess you're just going to see, I don't know how, I don't think they know yet how it's going to integrate, but they also don't know how the gameplay is all going to look like yet. It's very early, is basically what they said. So they're like, we're not talking about that stuff yet because we're still kind of concepting these things. But they had something in real time in their engine to show, and it looked really good. Their graphics
were
pretty crazy.
Yes.
Like the animations and stuff, like the characters up close looked pretty nuts.
Just a lot of a lot of demos that aren't really showing us what the gameplay is like. Kind of, this was a theme that was building around this point in the show. Swery's next game, D4. They showed a little teaser for that.
I have a note here that says live free games. What does that mean? Xbox Live free game. Notes.
Yeah.
They're doing the PS Plus thing, kind of.
Yes. So you get two free games a month. The first two games are Halo 3 and Assassin's Creed 2.
Right.
They're also getting rid of the real money. They made that official.
Yep.
They're getting rid of the Microsoft points.
Yeah.
And going to real money. And then they announced their partnership with Twitch that you'll be able to stream pretty much any game from your Xbox One to Twitch. So kind of saw that coming when Sony announced they were going with Ustream.
I hope they don't show up on the main Twitch page.
That'll be messy.
Twitch is about to get...
I heard today that Twitch wants to become the ESPN of video games.
Yeah, what the hell?
Random indie game moment. Capybara Games showed off a trailer for Below, which at first I thought was Sword and Sorcery 2. So... Mm-hmm. Kind of might give you a sense of their style. That was really, honestly, out of place compared to everything else. It was kind of like pretty much the only little smaller game that they showed off.
And then
the Dark Souls 2 trailer.
That was their thing. Yeah,
which did not look like everybody thought it was generic fantasy game. It did not come across as a Dark Souls game until they threw the logo up, which. They probably need to do, but...
I think I must have gone to the bathroom or something when they showed that. I don't remember it at their press conference, but when I saw today, what they were showing off to people, I guess, on the floor or in demos, it looks exactly like Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Exactly like Dark Souls.
We had some Dark Souls fans in the chat, and we didn't really identify it till the end. So
yeah, awesome game, but no, it really if you'd seen this verse, the thing they showed today, it's exactly like Dark Souls.
And then World of Tanks coming to 360, free to play.
What the hell, World of Tanks, man?
So
that was a weird.
I mean, the only thing I take from that is the 360 doing free to play stuff.
Sure, free to play. You have gold for that? I'm sure you do.
Probably. I think that's it for the games. Mm, yeah. So, okay, regardless of what happens the rest of the day, I kind of walk out of this Microsoft conference with... Well, I walked into the Microsoft conference with the idea, you need to give me a reason to buy this system to ignore all the bullshit that's been going on around this. Like, I am I'm a digital downloader. I don't sell my games. Like, so I understand the arguments around that, but that wasn't affecting me personally as a gamer. But
trade games with friends.
Yes, yes.
I like to trade Tendo tapes with my neighbor.
So all that stuff made me uncomfortable, but I was just kind of like, if they have enough exclusives, if they have killer apps, that's what I needed them to show me, and they definitely didn't even have that to like make their case why I need to buy an Xbox One day one. And right. I wasn't even close to that. The highlight for me was Titanfall, and that was...
We'll play it on the PC.
Yeah, that's kind of what I walked away with.
I mean, I'm sure the Xbox One version will be... It'll look just as good.
Yeah.
It's going to play great. It'll look great, sure. But if you don't already have an Xbox One and you've got a gaming PC, like you're not going to buy an Xbox just to play Titanfall. You're going to get, and you're probably going to get it cheaper on the PC. Someone's going to have a sale. Maybe. Oh, well, I bet it does. So
I guess with their announcement that they're working on 15 exclusive games or whatever, it wasn't coming from Microsoft Studios as far as the thing to sell me on the system. And I kind of just walked out of there. They announced the price at $499. That didn't really surprise me. But
I don't want to pay $500 though for anything like that.
I was surprised they didn't announce a subsidized version. And that's what I still feel like they probably still have that up their sleeve a little bit.
I don't know. Okay, the version that people... there's a lot of people in the games industry that's saying, like, they're speculating that they will come out with a version that says, hey, sign up for 2 years or whatever of Xbox Live Gold. No way it's going to be that. You will maybe get it from, like, I think if you'd end up getting it from, like, another company will subsidize. So, I don't know, there's no 4G in it, so it's not going to be a phone company, so, I don't know. Is it the cable company or something, maybe?
But
it's not a DVR, so they've removed that functionality from the 360 stuff that they were working on. So I don't know, because why would... you're going to get live anyways. You've got to get live to do anything. Everyone's got to have live. So I can't see a scenario where they say, hey, sign up for live for 2 years. You already have that money from everyone. Like, that's...
That was what was weird to me about it when they first tried it out, but because that little campaign seemed to be a success and was building buzz, I expected at least like a couple different versions of the initial packaging, like a $499 version, a $599 version, or something like that, or a subsidized version. And when they just flat out $499, at that point I was just that's the bare bones price. That's probably... That wasn't too surprising. Is the fact they didn't announce anything else around it was a little bit intriguing to me.
I'm sure they'll try to push the in the marketing as it gets closer to launch the fact that it's got this fancy Kinect in every box and that it has that TV pass through functionality.
God,
like that why is it worth more money? It's got to be these extra things that it does that nobody else does, because PS4 does not come with a camera in the box, and it doesn't have an HDMI input, And you know, it has to be those. It has to be those things that they're banking on. Hey, and I'm sure those that can add to the cost. Like that.
Yeah.
It's a it's a pretty fancy little.
It has to add the cost, kit. But who the hell wants it's
really
one?
Big? I don't. I really, really, really don't want that thing sitting on my TV. It's really big.
No, yeah, like you said, not from a security or any of those concerns.
It's too big. I don't want, and you have to have, as of right now, I mean, they've actually said it is required.
Yep.
It's just really strange. But the thing is, like, any of these consoles, you don't just spend that. You know, it's not $500, it's $500 plus tax, plus controllers.
Plus games.
And live, which, yeah, we've already got live, but we'll have to re-up at some point, you know.
No, I also forgot that they,
you know.
They also announced that another 360 SKU to make it look like the one. Same price, though, so really not. Same price, a little bit smaller, I guess, but, you know. They'll keep making more of those. They haven't made it small enough for me to change, so.
I'm not going to spend more money on a current-gen console. That just seems silly.
You won't, because of backwards compatibility, I feel like I'm going to...
I already have working systems. It's not worth spending $200 to $300.
I've got one that's a little bit on its way out. So, once that one fades, I'd like a smaller one to pick up since, yeah, I have a lot of XBLA games I want to play still.
I know how to replace a fan or a heatsink. it'll cost $10.
All right, let's move on to Dad's press conference. Let's check in with Jack Tritton at Sony.
Yeah. This was
first of all, you and I think in particular love the personalities that show up at E3, or at least we like to focus on them.
Yeah.
And
yes.
So with no Reggie. Honestly, Reggie only shows up on the interviews and game trailers, and he's not actually in the Nintendo Direct. Without Reggie, you know, Microsoft had no personality this year. We had PopCap guy at EA. I don't even remember who was the main EA people, because, yeah, they didn't really... No, Peter Moore, I guess, started it, but he wasn't really being Peter Moore. So, Ubisoft has, you know, they have to get a host.
Sure.
So that leaves us with Jack Tritton, and luckily, like, Jack's the fucking man.
Yeah, he's just he's genuine. He comes across as, like, super genuine and earnest, and the guy, they write straight talk for him that probably sounds like the way he talks when he's somewhat eloquent, but he's still, the way he delivers his lines is just kind of good old boy a little bit. But thoughtful at the same time. So it doesn't sound like he's winging it, but it sounds very natural. And that guy is the perfect guy to put on stage when you're a company who, you know, has to recover from terrible security breaches that take your whole service down for a
think about night. That. Yeah, like, usually in those types of situations, you think they have to get rid of the guy that comes associated with the face of that. But, like, he not only handled that apology, like a champ, like, but just the way that he went through this press conference was just, it was presented so much better than all the other ones. It seemed like, I know they're all scripted, but he always seems the least scripted in a lot of the Sony personalities this time around, seemed really comfortable on stage and really confident. So
Mark Cerny on stage?
I don't believe so. I saw an interview with him
too. I like to hear him talk.
He probably came out with Knack. I just don't remember. That demo didn't really stand out.
Adam Boyd was the other one that was out there for like half the time.
I think he definitely made an impact for himself this year.
He's their indie guy. He's the guy going around telling everybody, hey, we want your games.
They started off with all their old school stuff. Ran through some PS3 stuff, and I think you and I are both a little bit disappointed, and we've been teetering on purchasing a Vita, and they didn't really make a hard push there.
No, where the hell was the price drop?
Yeah.
Did you not... You thought this too, right? Everyone thought there was going to be a price drop. It's weird, because for the past, I think, like, week and a half, Amazon, Best Buy, GameStop, Target, Fry's had a drop on there. They've removed theirs, but they all had essentially a $50 price drop. You get a $50 gift card when you buy a Vita Wi-Fi or any version. But so it made it $200 basically. Why would everyone do that at once? Well, $50 price drop coming. So that was weird. And technically, E3's not over, but that would have been a press conference moment. So I don't think it's happening. But that's strange.
Yep.
That would have been, you know, because it's getting good games, but, you know, a price drop, it seemed like the time for that.
Maybe they thought it was, like, too much. Maybe they get that closer to the PS4 launch. But unless you meant by price drop that they announced that Walking Dead is coming to the Vita. That was, like, their one big Vita announcement.
Yeah. Oh, Fairway, they showed that game.
Yeah, that looks great.
Yeah.
That looks...
That's a,
what did I think? I said I thought it was a sequel to... Somebody was remaking Cubivore.
That's Media Molecule, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've heard... and also heard amazing things about it on the show floor, so...
Cool. That looked neat.
As far as the PS3 stuff... Beyond Two Souls. What the fuck is that game? Is it a shooter now? It's like Ellen Page goes to Afghanistan.
Army of Two Souls.
I know less about that game.
I don't know. I don't know.
We were all ready for an adventure game, right?
Yeah. What the hell? It's a shooter now. Like she's shooting, like possessed some dudes, third person shooting in Afghanistan or what the hell? She's going through training. She's wearing a vest, bulletproof vest. She's shooting people. I didn't know. I had no idea what was going on there. I don't know what that game is.
I think I'm less interested now.
Yeah,
is that
for
right?
Sure. That I didn't give a shit about any of this. I didn't care.
Okay, I want to watch the cutscenes.
That was weird. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But weird. What a weird ass game. Was Rain? Was that a PS3?
And that was just a weird teaser trailer.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. No, I thought it was Beyond Two Souls because it actually showed some like. Ghost-like gameplay, but
yeah.
It was really atmospheric. Puppeteer, I still don't really know what that is, but it looks really interesting.
Batman.
And then, showed some Batman. He didn't sound like Batman, but it looks like Batman.
Vita version, that, did you see that? The Blackgate side-scroller?
I guess that's a Vita and a 3DS game then?
Yes.
Yeah, that, I'm interested in the side-scroller. I don't...
What I saw, I didn't see much, but what I saw... didn't look as exciting as I thought it might.
Oh, that's too bad.
It looked like, you know what? It reminded me of that, the Mirror of Fate.
That's the main game. Okay. I understand.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't need another Arkham game at this point. So, which is really,
yeah.
Those games are fantastic. Two of my favorite of the generation, but I don't need another one by another developer and, mm-hmm. with Black Mask sure. and so Grand Theft Auto 5 also and then, PlayStation
Gran Turismo 6
yep. PS why what? I don't know why I even take offense. I don't
working
play
on
Gran
so
Turismo
long. You know just they've been working on it for that long and then just go let's just flip it over to this. It's you know it doesn't work like that, different.
I mean, that means you wait 3 to 4 years for Gran Turismo on PlayStation 4. Like, that makes no sense. Why not? Because I felt like that's what happened with PS3. You had to wait so long for Gran Turismo 5.
Well, why do you care about a Gran Turismo on PS4 so quickly?
I guess I feel like...
You're getting Drive Club. Isn't that enough?
You might get Drive Club for free
with
your PlayStation Plus membership, so... Yeah, I guess that's why you stagger it, but
I heard a little bit about that version, but ask me later.
Okay. Now, I just feel like Gran Turismo is a Sony, you know, milestone for showing off their technology, and they kind of missed the window with PlayStation 3, and it feels like they're going to do it again with PlayStation 4. So I just don't understand. I don't understand that what has happened to that series, but...
I don't care about it, so I don't... Since 2, I haven't touched 1.
Yeah. Also Cars.
Yeah.
So then they started their PlayStation 4 stuff. As far as the first party PlayStation 4, what stood out to you?
Well, okay. I'm not Killzone, I know, generic, it's just a shooter. But the little bit that they showed, and it was kind of weird because they did not focus on it very much. But what little bit they showed, I thought they were showing... You remember when we first got those little teasers of Destiny? And you saw that little bit of outdoor... It was not like you didn't see a bunch of shooting, but you just saw like just a little bit of the environments from the first-person view of in-game. And I thought it was that. I didn't realize it was Killzone because it was so bright and outdoors and there's lush environments, and that game does not look like other Killzone games. It doesn't look brown. It looks colorful and nice. Yeah. And yeah, generic shooter. But the more I see, the closer I get to actually wanting to check it out. So I'm not saying that was like my game of the conference thing, but I was a little bit surprised that they didn't show like just more generic Killzone, you know.
Killzone's always had good demos and trailers. Like they've always, like I got sucked into. I believe I bought Killzone 3. I think so. Yeah, I think I bought Killzone 3 soon after I got my PlayStation 3, because I got sold on how everything looked, but it has never felt.
It controlled like shit was my problem with it.
Yeah. So I have that associated with Killzone now, and they've got a little ways to climb back. But yeah, don't show me the title, just show me the gameplay, and I was definitely interested. But now it's still kind of a question mark. And I don't know. Guerrilla's paid their dues. Let them move on and make something new. Like, I feel like they're just getting run through the ringer over there with Killzone games, but...
Yeah.
But maybe they sell better than I give them credit for. Maybe they have a following. Yeah.
it looks almost like a different game, you know? That's what my takeaway, which is a good thing because I don't want more of the same Killzone.
They showed a cinematic trailer for The Order 1886.
Yeah, we don't know what that is, but...
Little steampunk... crossbows and werewolves types of...
Four-player co-op, maybe?
Yeah, that's cool. What it implied. So, was that... Someone was saying Cthulhu when they saw it. Did you get that vibe?
No.
But, okay. Infamous. I am ready for another Infamous game, but I skipped two. So, take that for what it's worth.
I'm ready for another Infamous game because I bought two and couldn't play it because it locked up so much.
Oh.
In the first level, so... Yeah, I've been ready for more Infamous. If I could actually play it, I would love some more. That game looks good.
And
it's the character. It's Troy Baker playing that character.
Oh, nice. He's the next Nolan North.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's good, man. He's good.
So then a familiar face showed up. One of the during the PlayStation 4 reveal, they showed a lot of little tech experiments, and I think graphically this old man's face became associated with the PlayStation 4, and so we get this trailer for The Dark Sorcerer, and it super moody guy is just really into his incantations. You know, it's a Quantic Dream game, so facial animation, the acting, you know, it was really standing out here, and you recognize it.
Recut scene.
Yeah, but it was all it looked like an engine, and I'm guessing there. And you recognize it. It's that old man from that tech demo. Mm-hmm. So they're doing something with him. And then I don't know what happens. I lost something. Hold on, one second.
Your camera died.
Yeah. I'm gonna bring it back.
If I can't see you. Help! I need a camera. There. Oh, I can see your face.
Okay. Oh, sorry, what I was saying. We have the Dark Sorcerer up there, and then all of a sudden it cuts to, a blooper reel of behind the scenes. They're filming the scene, and he's messing up his lines, and... It just kind of ends. I don't know what happened.
What was that game?
It was really funny. It was really caught me off guard.
Yeah, it was funny. That was, yeah. Don't know what it was, but it was funny.
Then I think at the point we jumped to my favorite part of the show, which was, hey, we're friends with a bunch of indies. Adam Boyce comes out.
That was cool.
And they fill their, like, you know, semicircle of a stage full of just indie developer after indie developer. So we've got, well, I think they debuted this with, they showed off the trailer to Transistor from Supergiant Games, the guys that made Bastion.
Yep.
And then they just start filling the stage with, well, we've got Don't Starve, we've got the guys that made the Scott Pilgrim game, Octodad, that sequel, best name of the show for a game, in Secret Ponchos.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Raise the Dead, which I believe that's made off the, inspired by the, shit, what was that other zombie game with the, when you played as a zombie. Anyway.
But Stubbs?
Yeah, Stubbs is a zombie. Inspired by that, or like they worked on that kind of thing. A horror game called Outlast that looks like Grave Encounters.
Isn't that the one that's written by Jessica Chobot?
I don't know. Hope not. Don't
pretty
say
sure.
that.
Pretty sure. That's her thing.
Okay. The new Oddworld team, they're doing an Oddworld remake. And then 17-bit games.
That was cool, by the way.
What's the Oddworld stuff?
There, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And 17-bit games, who made Skulls of Shogun, which is a big, like, Windows 8 Microsoft game. Their next game, Galaxy.
That was a cool-looking little twin-stick space shooter, but
yeah,
not like Geometry Wars.
Right.
More shmuppy, but free-roaming. It would look good.
This was the moment where...
Bengai O, because it had those crazy drunk missiles.
Drunk missiles?
Yeah.
This is the point in the show where I started comparing them to Microsoft. Like, I started thinking back to, oh yeah, they had that one Capybara game, but here's Sony with, here's all of our indie developer friends, and you know there's more of them, and just kind of started to see the differences in some of their business approaches here.
That was the feel-good moment of the show for me.
Yeah.
Like, that was really cool. I felt like their commitment was legitimized.
Mm-hmm.
They had all those guys. It's not just a message. They actually brought all those guys on the stage. Dudes that would never have that kind of spot.
Yeah, they're just going, what are we doing on stage?
On television.
Yeah.
Greg,
how about Greg Kasavin being on stage there for a second? That was a little...
Yeah, that was cool.
As far as, let's see, the other third-party stuff, I jump back to that.
Did we miss Knack?
Yeah. Do you want to talk about Knack? Well, Knack was during the first party, but
not,
yeah.
Not a lot to talk about. I think they showed more of it at the February reveal, but I was not excited at all for the game. I'm sort of excited now.
Oh, tell me why, because I'm indifferent.
Well, since it's more like because I saw another video that I don't think was exactly what they showed on the stage, but see a little more of it in action and kind of seeing what it does. Like, I think it was really the charm was lost on me the first time I saw it. I didn't like the character design, and the world just didn't do anything for me. And then I heard Knack talking, and he's like a really deep voice.
Yeah, he does.
And then saw a little bit of the, not just that, because they just showed gameplay before, mostly. But some of the extra story stuff, it actually, just the idea of the concept behind the world and all that kind of stuff. The gameplay looks fun and fine and whatever, but it was like, did I care about anything else? And it started to gel for me, just overall. It wasn't like one thing. It was just, I just had a moment of, aha, I get it. I get what they're aiming for with the style and all that kind of stuff. And I can't articulate it any better than that, and we'll see when the game's actually...
No, I'm definitely going to keep an eye on it, just because, I don't know, Cerny made such a great impression on me when they debuted the console that I want to kind of see what he's been working on. So I'm sure it's there, but they haven't really given it. I want to see like a gameplay demo and like break it down for me type of thing. So but definitely has potential, and his voice definitely stood out.
Yeah, I didn't expect that.
So they cut towards the end. They cut to another third party lineup. These aren't exclusives, but they had the NBA 2K14.
Yeah, here we go.
Demo, which was trying to show off how realistic the tech was. Now, I will say this game looks dramatically better than what they showed from NBA Live. And these are both the next-gen versions. But they do not never have a real-life counterpart talking to their digital counterpart. Because they had LeBron James talking to in-game LeBron James, and it was just hideous.
Awkward. The way his face moved, it reminded me of those Gary's Mod Machinimas where the G-Man is getting like weird rubber mouth and like rah, 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 and moving.
Yep.
They should not have put that on.
I was going to say, even if your graphics do look great in motion, this engine isn't built for like facial animation or for talking. So why are you trying to make that happen? And then it closed with basically this this shot of LeBron like screaming, you know, and trying to swallow the world. It was terrifying.
I've never seen a mouth open that wide. My God. It looked like a bass.
And then tell us why we need to get excited for Mad Max.
The Just Cause developers, Avalanche, are making a Mad Max game that is open world, set in the world like as created and then inspired by the original films and the new film. So I think they've seen the stuff from the new movie, but it is not a movie tie-in.
Mm.
It is not a continuation of Mel Gibson. It's just their take on that. And you've got your own car, and you can do stuff to it and mod it. You can add guns and armor and all kinds of shit to the car. And everyone's an asshole, and you can run over people, and you can shoot them. they just showed a little CG thing, but they're talking about it, and I think maybe behind closed doors they're showing some of the gameplay or in-engine stuff. So yeah, that sounds interesting because Just Cause 2, I didn't play a lot of 1, but Just Cause 2 was pretty fantastic.
Mm.
Crazy bullshit fun, just stupid fun.
I wasn't even thinking about it as far as, you know, this is obviously a teaser trailer, so I kind of block it out. But the fact that the Just Cause, this is what the Just Cause guys have been working on, I think giving them a shot with, you know, something more than their own franchise is a good thing. So, before this, we had the actual Assassin's Creed 4 and Watch Dogs demos, which it is worth noting that they did have those technical issues, so Sony's conference was not without their own issues, but it's, you know, I don't think anybody really noticed in the long run, as far as it's just kind of, I don't know, new games on new technology, things are still being worked out, was kind of my reaction. But
immediately, like, all day long, I'll just speak for myself here, I was bitching. This is the last conference we had. All day I was bitching about, like, show me the game.
Yeah.
Show me the game. Show me the game, you know? Especially if it's going to be out this year or early 2014 or whatever. Like, show me something. There's no way. Everyone builds prototypes early on. Like, give me a slot. Give me a little snip. Show something. Show me the mock-up of what the game looks like, even, you know?
Well, I think what our biggest annoyance all day was, and here's some in-game footage. And by in-game footage, they meant cutscenes.
Madden Cam.
Yeah.
That's what, I want to see what it looks like when someone plays the game, not what it looks like from the cool cinematic camera angle. They can say, oh, it's gameplay, meaning
here's in-engine footage, but
this is stuff in the world interacting real time in the game engine itself, but it's not like this is what you see when you play. So then when they showed Watch Dogs and Assassin's Creed 4 at this Sony conference, even though there was like some hitching, just a little bit of hitching in Watch Dogs, it wasn't bad. Assassin's Creed 4, it
had to stop.
it ended up kind of crashing or whatever at the end of it. Before that, it was like it would freeze up every little bit for a second or so. I thought that was awesome because it was like, you know, if they knew that might have, that could happen possibly, and I'm sure they knew, like, yeah, this is, hey, this is going to freeze a bunch. Like, they would have said no. But, so who knows what the problem was? Maybe it was that particular demo machine they had to use. Maybe they had to, you know, whatever. It's computers, you know? But just the fact that, like, it was not totally ready, and they just decided to take the risk and just show it anyways instead of just giving us more crap. Like, some hitching aside, we got to see what it looks like when someone plays the game. Mm-hmm. I will take that in 1,000 times over rather than just like, well, it's really smooth, but it's bullshit, canned, whatever. You know, then we don't know. Like, they just showed that crap and, you know, and it looked good and like some little bit of hitching. That's, they'll fix that tomorrow, you know, or what the hell?
Yeah, we were both kind of afraid that this will discourage them from trying that again next year. So hopefully not.
And when, and again, when like prominent game journalists are online writing shitty things about it, like, do you think the PlayStation 4 hardware is, it's bad? Like, what, you know, what?
Yeah,
what do you,
yeah.
What do you actually think is going on? Do you know anything about how anything works at all? Do you know about computers? You ever heard of computers? What do you think this is? It's not Tinker Toys, dumbass. Yeah. It's, that,
so Square Enix also had a little section here. I think everybody got excited for the Kingdom Hearts 3 reveal. So that trailer was...
not everyone.
I was. Because you were busy being excited for whatever the fuck Final Fantasy thing they showed, which I thought was Versus 13.
It is.
Turns out it's 15.
They're renaming it.
I don't... Okay. So a lot of my disdain for it came from just, I don't, you know, I'm not interested in the world of 13. So
now they're just... I haven't even played 13 yet. And I don't care.
Why were you excited for this action game?
Because it looked like a fun... Okay, we saw a lot of combat that looked like Devil May Cry or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw a whole lot of big, epic action set pieces, like Uncharted style or something, but just like super crazy over the top. Like there was a moment that reminded me of that cool opening level of Enslaved on the airship thing. It just looked way over the top, and it had that JRPG styling that Square has refined over the years. Like it, the crazy stuff that happens in their cutscenes. Like if you remember in Final Fantasy VIII when those two big like floating fortress things collide and there was that big battle going on, and it looked really, really awesome. And then, but then it, you go back into controlling it, and you're like running around in your little 2D plane, and you're having random battles. The whole that like all the crazy action they showed was like looked like the cutscenes from that game, real time, and you're playing it and jumping around, climbing on shit, and stuff's blowing up, stuff's bigger than you. I like one of my favorite types of game experiences is that cinematic, movie like. Get sucked into the world immersive kind of experience you get with games like, say, Uncharted, you know? And I really like sci-fi and fantasy stuff as well. And Final Fantasy combines those. I don't necessarily like all Final Fantasy games. However, this one kind of surprised me because I hadn't really seen anything about
Versus
13. I didn't really know what that was, so I didn't really give a shit. This thing came on the TV, and I had no preconceptions. No, there were no hang-ups. There were no. I didn't have any idea what I was. It just, here was the thing.
Okay,
and it looked
I will give you from what they showed, and I have a lot of preconceptions that ultimately left me with a bad taste in my mouth by the end of it. A lot of it just, I'm just over the naming conventions of Final Fantasy games, and I started to look like as crazy chaotic as like a Metal Gear Rising. But I don't associate like a good character action game, which is what they seem to be showing, with Square Enix. As far as whoever would be making that game, I don't really have faith that they'd be able to pull it off in any playable, fun style.
But the action they showed looked fine.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I understand that.
You're getting hung up on stuff that didn't have anything to do with actual experience that they were trying to convey on the screen.
That's fair. I was just annoyed, and you were super excited, so I was kind of wanted to know where you were coming from. But yeah, if you judge it based on the video alone and no backstory, I think, yeah, I understand why you're excited.
Yeah, but yes, that's the way I should look at that, correct? I mean,
I'm not arguing with you there, but it's kind of funny how hung up I got on everything else around Square Enix. Like, I feel like the Square Enix is dragging down the best part of that company, which is whatever's left of Eidos. So, I want to see Mad Max and that kind of stuff get... Well, actually, I'm assuming... Is Mad Max Square Enix? Because that was Avalanche and that was Just Cause, so... anyway, I want Square to have some... They need to kind of rebuild their trust with me, is all I'm really saying, so... That was a tangent I didn't intend. I apologize. Let's talk about something we agree blew our minds, possibly.
Scrolls Online. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's coming on PS4. What? Okay. I don't know. Like, I feel like Destiny is the game moment I'm going to remember from the show. The demo just floored me.
They showed a bunch of it. Mm-hmm. Just like... Titanfall got a bunch of screen time earlier in the day. And I don't know why I'm putting these two against each other. Well, yeah, you should kind of... These are a couple of big shooters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Although Destiny is also going to be on Xbox One. But maybe not on PC.
Yeah.
They're not sure yet. Or they won't announce it or whatever. So, this shooter from Bungie is... a co-op. Does it have also player versus player stuff? I'm sure it does.
I don't know.
But they showed co-op. We saw what started out as
the solo guy.
Yeah, one dude, and then another. And a friend jumps in.
Hi.
Later another one jumps in. Yeah, it's just a wave thing. I'm sure everybody by now has seen the aesthetic, which, you know, it's sci-fi and it's. It's really hard to describe these games.
What'd you call it? Halo Lands.
Yeah, Halo Lands. That's it. Well, because some of the gameplay stuff kind of looked Borderlands-y.
Mm-hmm. Star Wars Borderlands Halo. Like,
yeah.
A lot of the character design's very Star Wars.
Sure. So what we saw was basically like a mission.
Mm-hmm.
Saw a bunch of action. We saw them fight a boss. We saw them get loot, equip the loot. We saw the, you know, shooting new guns, and it had kind of looked like a random loot generator thing. So it's got like the RPG stuff going on. But the shooting looked fun. The world, the outside stuff, that inside setting they showed looked amazing.
Lighting was incredible.
The graphics were just knocking my socks off. And then... And then they showed, it's kind of an MMO, because you ran into a bunch of other people, and then it was like they went into like a public quest. And these big-ass dropship things, or spaceships, like flew in pretty low, and then dumped off this big old like robot scarab thing, and then a bunch of people teamed up and fought it and killed it and stuff. And it was like that. It's open world, and...
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are public quests. Like, I know they've mentioned these things, like how some of this is going to work, but it never clicked to me.
You need to see it in action, and it was a good demo.
Like, oh, shit. Oh, wow. You know, a game like Borderlands, we like the progression of that kind of game. You know, do a quest, get the goodies, you know, and you do it with friends, it's more fun, that kind of thing. And it is, it's a big open world, but. There's something about knowing that there's other people doing stuff there too, and you can run into them and like the good parts of an MMO. Today's MMO, you know, not like, and that combination, everything about the game just seemed to gel in that demo with me. I just thought, you know, Mm-hmm. Everything, you know, it looked good. It looked like it might. It probably felt good. You know, the shooting stuff.
It's also a good demo, as far as like.
Oh, it was it? Yeah.
I mean, that their banter, like, as again, yeah. was, just didn't seem scripted. Like, I don't, you know, it is, but they were fun. They were showing me what I wanted to see, as far as like he was excited to get loot and check out his new gun, and they made jokes about the gun. And like they showed the kind of progression tree with associated with that gun and the ultimate ability you unlock with it, and then yeah, then they stumble out into that public event, and when that public event happened, it was just like, oh shit, like all the, you know, the enemy AI and combat scenarios we like from Halo, like dropped into more of an open world setting, and that can appear randomly. That option seems like a lot of fun.
Those
like
the best moments,
basically Borderlands with Halo AI.
Yeah,
like that's what got me excited. I was like, yes, I want to play that with friends.
The Halo combat puzzle seemed to be present in that demo, which is really good thing. Oh, and there were speeder bikes.
There were. Yeah,
I didn't know there were. I didn't know you could. I guess they showed speeder bikes in a trailer, but
and I like the different, like all the characters, like they stood apart from one another as far as. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't, like, a set Spartan armor or anything like that. Some creativity in the class names and that kind of stuff. I like that.
Is that the one where... Is that the demo where you saw, like, a space vampire?
Yes, yeah. The pale guy with the echoey voice. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they did look like a little bit of a story trailer there at the end. But wow. Like, I was... You know, I mean, honestly, the jaded side of me was ready to write off both... Respawn and Bungie, that like you can't, lightning won't strike twice for both of you, and I also was worried that I wasn't going to tell the two games apart, honestly.
Yeah, that's and, not going to be
or they would feel like they're old games, but they like you said, Titanfall doesn't look like an Infinity Ward game, the classic Infinity Ward game. Now you can definitely see some Halo in Destiny, but. That's not a bad thing in this regard. It's not overly Halo.
Only the best parts, and yes. Again, only in the
almost the presentation layer of it. So,
yeah, but when they were first approaching that little public quest or public event thing, and that the viewpoint character is overlooking essentially a combat arena in this base that they're in. You know, and there's like some cover and you see dudes on the ground kind of scattering and stuff, and you can see like, oh, this looks like the setup for a Halo combat situation. Mm-hmm. Like that was the moment that I saw Halo, was right there. And then, but everything else, I mean, you know, I was like, oh, wow, this is like, it's got some, you know, I see the Borderlands-ish kind of stuff, you know, like the loot shit, all that stuff. Like they're just really kind of throwing it all in there. But again, I just think the way it all comes together is pretty fantastic. I'm really, if you couldn't tell, I'm really excited for this one.
Yeah.
And that was like a regular, it didn't seem like they were trying to throw out like all their best stuff necessarily. Like to
right.
It felt natural. Like, hey, they were like, hey, here's just like a random mission kind of thing. What it felt like.
Just like, where'd you guys leave off? Can we just start playing again? Yeah, it was super casual, but oh man, I didn't expect that game to impact me, and that was a good way to close the show there. Mm-hmm. So, but those weren't the fireworks with this this conference, and I think.
But wait, there's more.
I think with how Sony handled this situation, I think I was getting a little bit. I was getting worried that E3 was a little bit boring and predictable going into this year. Like, I felt like coming into today, I was in the crowd that it doesn't matter which console you get, they're essentially going to be the same machine. And I thought that was going to go down to all the policy stuff that Microsoft has, you know, stepped into and then... and then not addressed and then completely addressed. Well, the thing was, like, with all of the used games... DRM, privacy, always online, all that stuff that Microsoft has mucked up. They basically, they came out with some blog posts detailing where they stand with everything?
Yep.
And I know Sony didn't do this, but it's almost like they took that list and said, we're not doing that, we're not doing that, we're not doing that. Because when Jack Tretton revealed that they support used games, you don't have to be online to verify your games and just say... putting the trust back in the consumer and trying to put them first. They got such a big response. It was one of my favorite E3 moments.
Yeah, wow. I feel like Microsoft put them over on the crowd.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> They set them up. They set them up.
Because, you know, they Sony revealed first. Then Microsoft had a chance to do some different things.
Yeah.
Now, Sony was real cagey. Or they're real guarded about the their DRM stuff. The way they dodged was weird. Except that there's I've heard people say I heard that they came up with a lot of this stuff the day of after the Microsoft press conference, but then a bunch of them straight up were saying like the price was decided weeks ago, or this stuff was decided forever. This was we discussed it, but like. Everyone discusses it, and I don't believe that a company like Sony, on the day of E3, reacts to a press conference by completely changing their strategy.
Right.
Like that? No way. No. So the price or whatever. I don't believe that at all. But that's whatever. That's my opinion. So.
So yeah, I think I'm of the mind that they had all the policy stuff decided, and they might have had two price. Game plans together.
That seems kind of crazy to me. Because if so, they wouldn't have come in where they did. They would have come in. Right. They didn't need to go that low. Haven't said it yet, but it's.
So then they. So that was the funny thing. So before. What was this? I want to say that was after all the third party stuff, after the Mad Max stuff.
It was deep in.
Yeah, it was like towards the end. But so after the Mad Max reveal, they go into. We're supporting used games. You don't have to be always online. All that, you know. We're gamers first. Everybody's excited. But they don't announce the price. Then they show off Destiny. And then Dr. House comes back on, or whatever his name is. And he announces that he's proud to announce that the PlayStation 4 is going to be $399, $100 cheaper than Xbox One. And the roof blew off again.
Yeah.
And it was a really fun moment because... I'd even talk myself out. I guess they're not gonna talk about price. They had to talk about price, but you know that Destiny trailer was really the Destiny demo was awesome. Like it's a good time to end. But then they hit everything they needed to. It seemed like what didn't they do? Like the only thing anybody's like even possibly harping on them on is that. You'll need to pay for PlayStation Plus to play online.
Oh, okay, so that was like one. 4. Yeah, that was the one thing that changed with PS Plus, which, by the way, is same subscription across, just like Xbox, same subscription across all their systems.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to get like buy a new subscription or whatever to the Plus. But so now, in order to play, this is the only thing that changed. You still get to do all the other shit for free, but in order to play games online, now Jack Trenton says. Trenton says that they're taking that money or money, but he said that way.
Yeah.
You know, money.
So keep upgrading PSN.
They said that they are reinvesting, they're upgrading their network, you know, for the multiplayer experience and stuff. So this goes right in line with them recognizing all their mistakes and all that kind of stuff and you know. PS Plus, though, it's a really good deal.
Yeah.
If you have a PlayStation, you should have that. Like, the Instant Game Collection has paid for itself 10 times over with me. I have tons of free games. I haven't bought a PS3 game. I mean, I'll buy The Last of Us this week, and that'll be the first PS3 game I've bought in a while. But I've gotten a whole bunch of free games in that. and you know, there's discounts and stuff like that as well in there. And they do some other little features, like... auto updates in the background and all that kind of stuff, you know, that Microsoft is doing with, you know, their system as well, but Sony has it on PS Plus.
And then they also still have that Gaikai backup for all the Gaikai stuff. The streaming games is coming in 2014, and you'll be able to stream some PS3 games from that. Like, it won't be ideal, but it's, you know, for people that were, you know, clamoring about backwards compatibility, there's something there, but
they spent a lot of money on that.
So, and so that's, but I think that's going to stream to your PS4 and to your Vita. Mm-hmm. That's the other. So that will be interesting to see how that rolls out. So yeah, that was a fun. That was a probably the most fun E3 moment in the last half decade. Really,
it was this like one-upmanship stuff that you don't see.
You don't see the companies going after each other.
I mean, we were talking before that press conference. We were sitting in the chat talking about, like, wouldn't it be awesome if Sony just came on and was like, you know, just addressed directly, said, like, Microsoft, you know, can suck my, you know, just like, just be jerks about it. This was the nicest possible way that they could have done that.
Yeah.
And they did it. They actually directly addressed, just like you said, the bullet points. Every time, it was so good that it was Jack delivering those zingers.
He was almost giggling to himself.
Oh man, and there was a pause after the
what was it? He did the used games thing. Everybody blew up and then he says, "I guess that's a big deal or I guess that's a good thing."
Like,
yeah, I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, he was playing. Yeah, he was really loving it, but the crowd was just blowing up. And by the way, that was normal. Everybody knows there's like plants, you know, employees in the crowds. But Sony actually, they had had like gamers that were camped out for a couple of days. They had a big room.
I think they do that every year with them. Yes. They always have the gamers that are there too. But so it's not fully press, but I'm sure the press were still going nuts too because
not all of them.
The games press is as classy as ever there. Yeah. But
that reaction. I wouldn't have cheered if I was sitting there, but I would have been laughing my ass off,
yeah.
You know, and you could hear that. Like I saw some people's vines where they were during that moment and people were just like cackling, like uncontrollably, just like, oh shit. Like, oh God, that was good. It was just like classic moment that will never be topped. That was the best E3 moment of all time.
Followed by one of the best YouTube moments to come out of that too, with how to distribute used games, instructions.
That was Boy, Adam Boys, and then
I forget his name, but he was sharply dressed.
Was that the president?
Yeah.
Of Sony Entertainment, Yoshida.
It was the world. Yeah, it was the worldwide guy.
Yeah. It was how to share used games. Or how to share games on? And then there's a pause, and they just handed the game to the other. To,
thanks.
Yeah, and God, that was great.
I mean, they
don't
took
look
it.
That one up if you haven't seen it.
That is like, so. I don't know. Like it's. I'm excited for. I didn't think we were gonna have console wars. I thought we were gonna have two like giants not acknowledging each other in the room. So like it was a fun moment. I still think. The only thing I've come back on the Microsoft side, and I'm not defending them, but it's I read in the weeks leading up here is that, you know, they don't consider Sony or Nintendo their competition because they're trying to basically beat Apple to the living room, and
Apple doesn't have a living room yet,
and yeah, and they're gonna lose. I still feel like right now they're set up to lose the gamers that got them there in the first place, and I think they're underestimating that. So,
maybe after you might be right. They, you know, especially okay. So this is just E3,
mm-hmm.
and this is how many months removed. This is what four or five months removed from launches. A lot of stuff happens between now and then as far as public perception and stuff, but. They won't have a ton of these made this holiday by this holiday season, right? So,
right.
How many people do they really need to jump in? Like, there's going to be enough Microsoft diehards. They're going to sell, you know, systems and stuff. Once you get into next year, maybe they see some of that. Maybe there's a little bit of flash or whatever. But they're spending the right amount of money to get the right games. You know, I think. I mean, they had a good lineup.
Yeah,
and they had some, you know, some decent exclusives and stuff, and you know, they all announce a new Halo and stuff like that. And, like, people are gonna want to buy an Xbox, but like 2 years from now or something or whenever.
That was the thing. Okay, like I said, I went into this. Give me a reason to buy one of these systems this year, like, Microsoft is almost counting, you're going to have the system in your living room anyway, and they've got years to figure that out, and they're trying to line up other media partnerships to make it happen from other directions other than just games. I get that. Xbox did not give me a reason to buy an Xbox One at launch, and, you know, for the foreseeable future. Sony made a strong case to me. Like, so basically I kind of sum up with, if you want to buy a console, like, I definitely lean towards PlayStation 4 personally, but the PC still has a really strong case. I would caution anybody as far as looking to know why they're buying in that first year, because it's going to be a long battle.
Well, okay, so knowing what the Microsoft's aim, and E3, they didn't talk about any of the TV shit. Like, they just ignored all that stuff. But they really do think that, like you said, they think they're going to go after this, like, just the average person, and they think they're going to be that. What was the slogan they had on other banners at the show floor? All in one, input one. That was their slogan. I don't know if that's something they're going to stick with, but input one. Like, it's the, you know, that's a joke. It's like a play on the, you know, the inputs on your TV or whatever. It's like, you got one input, it's input one, it's your Xbox, and that's it. But I don't see how they get this message to the average person and why they think they need it. Like, Google couldn't do it, you know? Like, Google TV was exactly what Microsoft's trying to do with their TV shit. Like, right? There's no difference, right? why does anybody give a shit about that? Like, why do they want... I think most people are going to look at it like, not like, oh, I can just have this one thing hooked to my TV. But you still have to have your cable box hooked into the back of that. Now you're just daisy chaining shit. That's way more technical than just plugging in two different things. Like, people are like, oh, I gotta set this up. Oh, average person and, you know, mom and dad and grandma and whatever and Joe Schmo, they're not going to want to mess with any of that stuff. So trying to sell them on that, trying to get a message to them saying, like, you got to do this, I think that is dumb. I think that is not forward thinking like they think they are and like a lot of people are saying that they are. I think that is not going to work. And prove me wrong. By all means, prove me wrong and make it the thing that even I have to have.
Because that's the angle they're leaning on, is, like, I've heard people saying they're more future-proof right now, like, focusing on the licensing of digital content and that sort of thing. But Sony also has time to react. Like I don't... It's not as immediate as Microsoft is making it seem, and they may have just... They have... sorry for this pun. They may have jumped the gun and then shot themselves in the foot. So...
Yeah, I kind of like that idea. I use my game systems for, like, you know, Netflix and HBO Go and Hulu and stuff. And I use the 360 right now for that stuff, but just because it's easier for us, you know, there's a family in the house. Like, but that's a crappy interface. It's slow, jank. So, yeah, man, new console sounds good just so that stuff's faster. And then I don't get in trouble for having a jank setup or whatever, you know. This isn't working. It's too slow. Like, yeah, you're right. But I can't speed it up unless we want to get another device like a Roku 3 for another $100. And no, just hopefully the new systems do that. Yeah, you know, sure, if the Xbox One was like, that's the place to go, and I don't need a cable box, and I can buy stations a la carte and stuff like that. Like, that kind of, if they get there with it, and if that's what their vision is that long term, and they've built for that, and that ends up working, great. How far down is that down the road? What does sales look like by then? You know, like, they've spent a lot of money to get their exclusives right now, and they're spending a lot of money on all this stuff, and I can't. That is not going to last, right? This is just a launch bump, right?
I think so.
Because we all talked about how those days of, like, crazy division of exclusives was kind of over, besides the first party stuff. Like, how long is EA going to make take their hot new game from Respawn and like have it not be on the PlayStation if the PlayStation starts to outsell the Xbox?
Yeah, those seem really loose. Like you can only count on the first party stuff.
Do they not like money? You know, of course they do. So they're gonna. So at that point, that's when they really get in trouble. So they got to figure out a way to not get to that place. And boy, it's gonna be kind of exciting to see. Hopefully, everybody's got good games and both systems do well, and you know nobody gets boned out of, you know, playing games the way they want to play and paying what they want to pay to do that.
I mean, you gotta support Sony's stance as far as putting those customers first. They made all the right plays ever since everything went terribly wrong. Like, as far as, you know, you may look back at that PlayStation Network outage being the best thing that happened to them. Like, it just seemed like they would never climb out of that. And they made a really, really strong case, and Microsoft still has work to do. I still think both consoles have a lot of work to do for the average consumer. But Sony's definitely making me feel good about supporting where they're headed. And I think Microsoft's just got a longer battle to kind of better establish why everybody needs that in their living room. Sure. And so any other final thoughts?
No, this was a fun E3.
Yeah.
Like, just really fun.
Good games, man. I tried to separate this out, but like the games got me excited more than I anticipated, and I thought I was prepared, but some good stuff out there.
I came out of it so much more excited than when I went in. All I cared about going in was those details about the new systems, and like just seeing like exactly how they're presented and all that, and I was rewarded. It couldn't have been any better as far as just like drama and a story, you know.
Yeah.
In the end, probably won't matter that much. The actual what happened last night won't really matter in the long run. It's bigger decisions around that will matter, but, you know, but that was fun. Like, that was just really fun, and there are a lot of games coming out in the next 12 months that I really, really, really want to play. I think, you know, just like each year gets better and better. I think this is actually going to be a pretty good year for games. There's going to be some good ones, and I think that next year will be crazy with good games. I think next year might be like really, really, really nuts. So
a lot of 2014s being thrown out there.
I'm just glad we have new systems. You know,
moving forward
like that, finally, just so we can have, you know, games on consoles that look and play like their PC counterparts.
Yep.
Yes, that sounds awesome. So, you know, if we could get the prices down on those games, on those copies as well, that would be great. But, but still, a lot of really good games, and overall, good E3. And I'm still looking forward to all those other games that weren't at a press conference, because you know there's stuff
there's a ton of stuff
like. Where's Fortnite? Is that there? Do people have hands on with Hellraid or, the Marvel Lego game looks fun. I want to see some more of that.
We'll try to cover more of that stuff on our Thursday show. Yeah. Gonna just basically touch base with more of the Horrible Night staff and get the reactions more of the games, and just also see how we're feeling. A couple days later, after the dust has settled, like I said, I think we were still kind of running a little bit of a high from the press conferences yesterday. So, but Josh, thanks for hanging out tonight. And the Curse Checkpoint, we'll be back with another E3 show Thursday night live. And we're horriblenight.com. We'll catch you next time.
See you guys.